Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for House amendments. I ask you to recognize the Senator from Polk on a motion.
Senate
is privileged
bill,
motion?
Whoa. Senator from Polk, you are recognized for a privileged motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion, and I move that Senate refuse to concur with the House Committee substitute Senate Bill 568 and request the House to recede from its positions. I'm planning to do so. Grant the Senate a conference.
Heard the motion, Senator from Polk. Does any senator wish? Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire of the Senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He yields, Senator.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I appreciate you yielding. For the benefit of the body, we're doing something unique here. We're actually getting ready to go into a conference where we can actually pass a bill instead of us staying on the perfection calendar and the House staying on the House perfection calendar. So I think you've made the motion to actually work out the differences between the version of a House bill that came over, the way that we changed it and sent back. And I had a group of students up here. This is the final phase of working out the differences between a House and the Senate on those two versions. Am I correct that that's
correct,
what you're trying to do?
Correct.
And if you could, just remind us, if you would, what this bill is.
The original bill was the move-over legislation that had to do with MoDOT vehicles on the side of the road.
Right.
And the House loaded up with several pieces of legislation, and some that I definitely would like to strip out, some that have already passed this body that are okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to conference to get that.
So they kind of did what I think we're going to see a lot of this, and you're just the first one to come up. The House is a little bit more liberal in what may be amended as germane to underlying bills. And I think we're going to go through all of this, and it's your intention to kind of keep that spirit of what may be germane to the underlying bill with your move over, and I guess it's the temporary license plate on there.
I believe it is,
yeah.
Also in there.
Yeah, I thought that was there, and we've kind of perfected that issue. We did have an issue that arose, with the senator from Range Rover land and wanting the tags on the back of the Range Rovers when they have the bike rack on the back of it. Has that difference been worked out on the whole temporary tag and an issue, or did that make it on there?
Not the bicycle.
Okay. So you're just wanting to go to conference, be able to start working out those differences. What do you see as the big issue?
Well, they've got one provision there they do with the title loan companies on paying for toll bills and storage. It's
okay.
It needs to come out. I mean, that's something that probably should have had full hearings on and trying to get something done on that.
And I'm now getting your amendments and stuff. We were kind of a little bit out of order. That's why I was stalling a little bit here. We're actually supposed to see this before you make the motions. and you know, it's like not closing on your amendments.
I guess, Senator.
I'm trying to kind of go through this as well. It looks like this was loaded up on the floor.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
There's a lot of things in there that I think has already passed the Senate.
Right.
I just want to go through there and make sure. Initially, what this is just a move-over legislation I think is important, and I would like to get to the point where we can pass that and send it to the governor is what I want to do. And so, I mean, if there's anything, in my opinion or the floor's opinion of anybody, if it's controversial, you know, I'm more than willing to get it to the point where we try to get the underlying bill to get passed.
Okay. Well, and I appreciate that. I know that Representative used the Senate vehicles as an opportunity to put stuff that may or may not be there, that may or may not have gone through a committee process or a floor process.
Right.
And I appreciate you being sensitive to all of that. And I'm just trying to flip through
There's one in there that I don't think it's controversial, but MoDOT had a problem with, but we got that worked out. But it had to do with milk hauling. For milk trucks,
right.
If they go to a farm, for example,
right,
they're required to pick up whatever that volume is that farmer has by health requirements. Well, it could also put them overweight by picking up that extra 50 or 100 gallons. So this would be able to allow them to fill that up and drive on certain roads, what it would be, to be able to haul that, still leaving part of it, which they can't do. You're basically making them do something illegal for just doing the job.
Right, right. And you've worked on this salvage vehicle title, I think.
Right.
This is Representative Smith. He's saying, you know, if you can get a salvage title, which is 10 years of age or older on a vehicle. I think we're pretty familiar. I don't know if we actually passed that here. Or I remember
I think we've already passed that through the body.
Right.
But those are the kind of things I want to make sure
right.
that's things that we've.
Right. I think that's fair
well
enough.
We were in agreement with.
I'm almost flipped through here.
My plan is, Senator, at the end of the day, is if try to keep everybody posted as much as I can. If there's anything in there anybody really has some difficult with, that I'm all for taking it
okay.
out.
Okay. I appreciate that. Looks like we've got a lot of them that added the license plates.
There's one license plate provision there that I like, and I guess that's kind of on the farm side of things. But we're allowed on a farm truck to get a 2-year license.
Right, and then it looks like we've got an American Red Cross.
That's something that they put on there.
Red
Cross. You got the Navy Cross.
The Navy Cross license plates. I think we've dealt with those issues as well. Temporary identification tag, minimum age requirements of operating the vehicle. This has also got your deal where if you go to the Lake of the Ozarks or somewhere and you're on vacation, you get a temporary, I think the senator from Cole, is that your language, or we have differences on, it's actually towards the back,
I think that's
Representative Wanda Brown.
Senator.
Yeah, and you guys are working together on that language. We brought that up, and I think that's the last amendments that's there. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for letting us see this, and I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from Lewis was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's an inquiry sponsor here.
Senator from Polk, do you yield? He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Do you know, does this include, I know in the states around the counties around the outside of the state, we're having trouble with a Supreme Court ruling that was done on tax collections, sales tax collections. Is that fixed in this bill?
It's not in this bill.
It didn't make it into this one?
I do not. Yeah, I almost know it's not. No, it didn't.
Okay.
There will be some other bills that we have that we're going to be working.
I understood, and I just got this laid on my desk, and I thought it was maybe being put on one of your bills in the House, and I thought I would ask if that's in this.
It is. That I've met with them, and I think they're meeting today trying to get some language worked out on that through both the House and here in the office.
Okay, I was specifically interested in that because that is hurting our border counties, but I will sit down on this one. It is interesting that they are starting to grow this time of year, aren't they? Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 4th.
Unanimous consent to introduce a very special.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
President, to your left and to my right is Sarah Howe. She's my intern. She's a senior. She'll graduate in a couple of weeks from University of Missouri, a degree in English and in French. She is fluent in both, and she was a teacher, a French teacher, and I would like my colleagues to give her a very warm welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 4th please rise, and the body maker feel very welcome. Senator from the 14th.
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Mr. President, before you today, I have 4 students who are members or students at Cracks Elementary School, one of my favorite elementary schools in the Rittner School District. And above in the gallery, we have their classmates who are from Cracks Elementary School. I have to tell you, Mr. President, that these students, I have told them and informed them that Dr. Seuss was the original rapper. And so they agreed that, and they look forward to me reading Dr. Seuss to them in 5th grade next year. If everyone would give them a warm welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 14th please rise, and the body make them feel welcome. We're on the motion of the senator from the senator from Polk. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator Polk, you yield. He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, Senator. I heard your inquiry with the senator from Cape, and you've already answered some questions. This left here is Senate Bill 568, and the House has added, they added some license plate. Do you know, don't we have kind of a system to where we handle all that license plate thing, and when House reps add those things, don't they kind of break that system? Is my memory correct? I mean, when I first came to the legislature, we used to have an omnibus license plate vehicle, and I think we came to some settlement on how to handle that.
Normally, when it is in the House, that's kind of what we had, omnibus license plate bills or naming bills. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I'm that too much, but I'm sure they just got stuck on it. That's what somebody's trying to run it through.
So somebody saw the transportation chapter, and I'm going to do this thing. And then I assume you've gone pretty thoroughly through all these amendments from the House.
Pardon me?
Have you gone thoroughly through all these amendments in the House of what they added?
Process that. But yeah, I mean, we got a pretty good idea. A lot of these have already passed the Senate through colleagues here, so I mean.
You mentioned the salvage vehicle. Was that not the senator from Third's bill of like a last month? Okay. So it's your intent to kind of weed out all the ones that are potentially, as any conference report the last 3 weeks, you're not going to.
I told the senator from Cape and would tell you, if there's any problems, if any of my colleagues have any problems with it, I'd be more than happy to take it out.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get it back here as clean as I can and for as much as we've already agreed on.
Okay. Thanks for the inquiry, Senator. Thank you.
We're on the motion of the senator from Polk. Does any other senator wish? We need to hold the conversations down. We're on the motion of the senator from Polk. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator Polk, do you yield? He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Hi, Senator. Hey, I just want to go over a few things similar to what the senator from Cape did, because I don't think this went through any committee that I was on or anything. I just want to know what we're doing. On the documents that you passed out, Representative Franz has one on here. Does that amendment, it's the one on top, does that amendment apply statewide?
But I'm sorry, Senator, I didn't hear what you said.
Don't you have, isn't this the packet that is handed out that were the House amendments? Okay. On the first one that's there on top from Representative Franz, does that language apply statewide, or is that restricted to just one area, or do you know?
Well, that would be my understanding. That's statewide, and I believe what that is. When I say statewide, my understanding that is for your local towns, your municipalities, cities, counties, to be able to use tax-generated dollars that they vote on, they pass, to be able to use, I guess, on other things other than just a road.
Well,
my understanding of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out, and maybe I'll ask one of our folks from Kansas City, because it says that city means any incorporated city, town, or village in the state of Missouri with a population of 100 or more, but the term city does not include any city not within a county or any city of over 400,000 inhabitants wholly or partially within a first-class county. I don't know. It sounds like that might be Kansas City.
Senator, so if you have any problems with it, all you do is let me know.
I don't know that I do. I'm just trying to figure out what geographic area we're covering. Looks like Representative Franz was pretty prolific. He's got another amendment. It's the third one, I think, in the packet, and it describes some commercial zone located in a county of the first classification. Well, that can't be my county, so okay, that's not a problem. Do you know anything about that commercial driver's license amendment that?
The CDL license, my understanding is that's somewhat of a fix, I guess, for federal dollars. I think the senator in the chair probably is very familiar with that, and I think that has been passed through the body before, but that's what that is doing.
Okay, that takes care of that. So let me... That's a long amendment. Okay, and then Representative Nance, this is all about salvage and junk certificates.
Right.
Have we passed that in years past and it's just not made it all the way through the process?
That's correct. I believe that's correct. And we're going to look into that a lot more.
Okay, so that's a do-over. And there's another salvage title issued. Okay, so that has to do with salvage titles. Do you know if that's something that's passed before? Just once again got stuck?
One of the salvage titles, and again, we're kind of working on that, one of the options on the salvage titles is if the vehicle's so old and they sell it, say, for scrap or something, it will not have to have a title. And I believe, like, it's 20 years old.
Okay. And you said that the thing that you're fixing with regard to the milk trucks is so they can... We talked about that here on the Senate floor before. That was a separate Senate bill.
Basically, if they go there and they've got almost a full load, but they got one more stop to make, but they may be at the weight limit at that point, they can go ahead and make the last stop, which they really have to do. Health department, the farmer has to get rid of his milk, you know, and then they would load that up, but it could put them, you know, 500,000 pounds overweight. So this would clarify that so they wouldn't.
Is this something that the Dairy Farmers of America wants?
I would assume, I know that, but I would assume they would.
That's probably a bad thing if they do.
And the other thing the senator just told me, you know, that if they got into that position on the weight, let's just say the farmer had 200 gallon, but all they had room for was 100 gallon. So they, okay. You know, therefore they'd want to take it all instead of leaving 100 gallon back. Would allow them to do that.
I'm tempted to give the DFA a hard time, but I won't. Okay, so what are we doing with towing? Has that already gone through here also?
The towing's coming out of it.
The what? It's Representative...
Are you talking about on the loan companies to pay towing, storage charges? Is that what
you're... Yeah, it's Tom Loans, Representative Loan from 112th District. It's his amendment.
Coming out.
What does that do?
Well, it would actually give a towing company probably a little opportunity to get a title to the vehicle. My opinion, seeing how I used to be in that business, probably a little quicker than they need to get a title for it. There needs to be a due process involved in that.
It lets the title loan company basically go and get the vehicle that secures their loan. Okay.
That's coming out.
And the Red Cross Trust Fund, I don't remember anything like that coming through here. What's that?
Senator, I don't know that I know. Which one did...
I can't read his handwriting or her handwriting. It's the representative from the 146th. And it has to do with the American Red Cross Trust Fund. I guess it just has to do with specialty license plates.
There is a specialty license plate in there for the American Red Cross and one for the Navy Cross. Those are the only two license plate ones that are in there.
So where does that... I guess the money just goes directly to the... American Red Cross.
Yeah, and those are specialty plates, my understanding. There should be it, and there should be a Navy Cross special plate in there also.
You're right, I see that. Okay. Thanks, Senator.
Senator from the third, what purpose is the recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from the eighth.
Senator from the eighth. Senator from the eighth, would you yield to the senator from St. Francis?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, thank you. I'm okay with this bill. Don't have any problems, but I had some questions that hung over from last night. Since it was late hour, I wanted to ask you about it. I hope you had a good night's sleep. I only had part night's sleep. I know you've probably been warned about what I was asking about, but I just thought it was an interesting process last night, one that I hadn't seen before. I very rarely seen members of the committee that vote against their own bill, by and large. Is that something that you think will continue in the future? If it does, how do you think we'll get a budget bill through?
Senator, I didn't vote against all the bills. I voted against a select number of bills. I have issues with the budget. I offered suggestions in the budget committee. Not all of them were taken. And just like you, if I'm not happy with the end result, we let a chance to go to a vote and the body prevails.
Well, I appreciate all the time that you spent in going over those things. Let me ask you something else. Do you think you had an amendment that was $25,000? Did you ask the budget chairman to put that in, the appropriations chair, to put that in?
You know, what I ask is that we move that back to the Health and Senior Services. That was rejected, and I told the chief of staff or the budget chair that, okay, seeing that this didn't happen, I'm going to offer an amendment on the floor. He said, that's fine. And so if the budget chair didn't know about that, it's because of the communication in his office. Now, I didn't directly tell him I was going to do that. And I do believe
that's a good policy after you guys spend 4 months almost every day going over line by line to have it. People offer from the floor, you know, if I've got a playground that I might.
You know, I believe that we are all individual senators and we all have the right to represent our people. And at the end of the day, I believe I have the right to get up on the floor when I don't necessarily get what I ask for.
You don't think that'd be chaos if I had maybe a disabled playground that I wanted $50,000?
I don't think we have super senators here. I think at the end of the day, we're all senators. We have the right to advocate for our position. And that's what I did in committee. And I then once I did that in committee, I have another recourse, which is the floor of the Senate. And I don't believe that there's anything wrong if you didn't get what you wanted in committee because the committee chair didn't accept it to come out here to the floor of the body to get it, and I didn't get it on the floor of the body. That's fine. I understand that. I didn't hold the bill up after that. I just did what I thought was right, and I believe every senator in this body has that right.
So that was your idea, the MRL, or nobody came to you to say put $25,000 in?
No, I believe funding for alternatives for abortions are important. I believe that we put an additional $50,000 to bring the awareness of the program out there. It was almost capped out last year. I believe that the additional money was minimal to the overall budget. I thought it was important. Alternatives for abortion is important to me, and so I brought an amendment to the body.
Yeah, I agree they're important. I probably have contributed a lot more personally to pregnancy resource centers and things around the last few years. I'm just guessing than you have. So I do agree with that. Did you even consider how that vote would be for your colleagues?
You know, everybody.
I got to tell you, Senator, when I came in here, the only people that were making people take that kind of votes was Ken Jacobs, to embarrass you, to take bad votes, so that everybody knew that you did consider that, how it would be.
You know, Senator, every senator on this floor has the opportunity to look at each individual amendment and
You didn't care. You didn't care that they were going to try to keep the integrity
of
the budget.
I tried in committee to get it to be moved out of that budget bill.
So that was okay to embarrass all of us for our votes, to go back to explain our pro-life views.
Why are you embarrassed about your vote?
A pro-life amendment, $25,000 out of a $24 billion.
You have to vote against it, Senator. You had the opportunity to look at the amendment on the merits of the amendment.
That's what our opponents used to do to us, Senator. I'm sure that your friends that are in pro-life communities that wanted to keep the integrity of not letting $25,000 amendments and $10,000 amendments and things that once you guys have spent 4 months. Now, major issues? Absolutely. I think it was well within the right of some of the things we discussed last. Absolutely. To start doing small amendments to get so nobody brought that to you. Nobody, MRL, didn't bring that to you or to vote on that?
Nope.
No colleagues that needed a pro-life vote
I didn't know I needed
somebody
to tell me.
Nobody running for office.
I didn't know I needed somebody to tell me to do something on the floor. I thought I was a senator on the floor of the Senate, and I had the right to make a decision.
And nobody needed anybody was running statewide, or they needed a pro-life vote and hadn't gotten one. No one brought that up. They thought that would be good.
Let me be very clear. No one at all put me up to doing that. I made the decision to make that decision all by myself.
I just want to establish you. You and your wisdom said, you know what? I'm going to put my colleagues in a bad position. Either I will go against the integrity of the budget process, or I will vote against a pro-life amendment.
Senator, we all have the rights to make those decisions. And I made, this is something I thought was important to me, and so I made the amendment. If you didn't like it, you voted no. If you liked it, you could have voted yes.
Well, I liked the amendment. Didn't think it was appropriate for the budget process to do that, so I disliked the process. And I just thought I'd tell you, when I got here a few years ago, and I'm leaving in a few weeks, but the rest of the colleagues can let you tee up bad votes all they want. But back then, that didn't happen because your bills wouldn't go anyplace. Because if you were going to embarrass your colleagues, especially colleagues on the same side of the aisle, you understand what Ken Jacobs was trying to embarrass you because he wanted you to be defeated. But most of our colleagues don't want to be taking bad votes in the budget process, ones that will be obviously used against them in campaigns. And I can hear the ad now. The senator from the third says he's for pro-life.
Senator,
but when given the opportunity
about $25,000
to spend $25,000, he voted no. Is he really for pro-life issues? You know they'll use that, Senator. I would.
They didn't have to vote no. Everybody has the ability to vote yes on an amendment.
You're right, and they don't have to support your bills. You know, and so my point is, when we first got here, it was understood because it was an agreement with the conduct that members of the budget committee supported the budget that they worked 4 months on, and then other people weren't allowed to just say, hey, give me $20,000 here or $20,000 there or something like that. And in particular, issues like guns and abortion, I could have offered an amendment to let's give $25,000 more to Second Amendment rights groups, and we would have had another good vote on that. But I just ask you, Senator, consider the consequence these amendments have on your colleagues, because they'll have to go back, some of them, half of them this year, and run, and they'll have to defend that vote they took last night. So I guess that you could have made a point. And I don't deny your right, your ability to amend, to put that up there. I deny its wisdom, and I just would ask you to consider that. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields, Senator.
Thank you for yielding. Senator, you've been here a long time. I've actually been here longer than you.
Yeah.
And if we want to go down this route, and I can make points, you can make points, I think everyone is in agreement that what occurred during the budgetary process was a complete breakdown of the normal give and take.
I agree.
Without question. Now, the senator from the 24th, I wish he was in the chamber because I want to talk about what he called the group of nine. I'm going to call his little group the Common Sense Glee Club. If, you know, he's the only one that's actually in a group that has named itself and has sweater vests, I think, that run around and go, I don't know if you're part of that group or not.
I haven't
or if
been.
You will,
I haven't been.
If you will be, if you're reelected to the House, an adjunct professor or something. But I can tell you
yes.
that from the time I've been here, which is longer than you,
mm-hmm.
I've been able to work
with...
You've
been in the Senate chamber longer than me?
No, in the Capitol.
Okay.
In the Capitol.
And the budget process is the same in the House as it is in the Senate.
I'm going to roll through this.
Go ahead. Roll on.
The ability to work with Wayne Good, the ability to work with the senator from the 13th, the ability to work with Carl Bearden, the ability to work with Alan Isett, the ability to work with Chuck Gross, the ability to work with Gary Nodler, the ability to work with the senator from Stoddard, all carried on. All carried on. What happened over the last two...
All carried on.
Well, here it comes.
I'm ready.
Carried on through the process. That didn't result in what happened over the last 2 days. All right? The only thing different is who the appropriations chair is now. in the glee clubs, in the other self-described groups.
Okay.
Now, if you're upset over any other issue that somebody may not have voted at different times, then let's get to what we're upset with. I could be upset with the fact that you sided with the Democrats, not the Republicans, on many of the votes to carry the majority.
You mean last night?
Last night. So where are your colleagues, and where are your thought processes?
I thought it was a Democrat-Republican thing.
No, I'm saying that you sided with all of the Democrats. You
sided... On which vote?
Well, with the pay raise vote?
Yes, I did. All the Democrats, that's why I asked the Democrats what I felt.
Absolutely.
I didn't care about the thousands of workers that I have in my district.
No,
I didn't represent my people. I represented
the Democrats. That's exactly what the senator from the 7th did. And you got on the floor and chastised him about it. That's exactly what the problem is, Senator.
No, it's not. You know it.
Absolutely it is.
Senator from the 23rd.
What order of business are we on, Mr. President?
On the motion from the senator, on privilege motion from the senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
All in favor of the motion of the senator from Polk, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. The informal calendar, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1174, Senator from Johnson.
House bills, informal calendar, third read, House Bill 1174, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill number 1174 with Senate substitute pending be called from the informal calendar and taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion of the senator from Johnson. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Johnson. Senator from Cape has the floor.
Mr. President, if I can inquire of the senator from Johnson.
Senator from
Johnson. Trying to let everyone out. When I take my time, I'm trying to let everyone out.
I do yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Got a stance.
All right. Senator, it's been a while since we've been on this bill. I appreciate it. Why don't, if you could, just take a couple of minutes to refresh everyone's memories.
Right. Yeah, obviously you had the floor when we laid it over a few weeks ago. House Bill 1174 is a bill by Representative Mike Lehrer, which deals primarily with the unaccredited school districts and the ability for the State Board of Education to have an immediate takeover of those unaccredited districts. Currently, in state statute, it takes up to two complete school years for that to happen, and in the case of Kansas City, it would be 2.5 years. We passed a very similar bill to this last Thursday in the Senate, 33-1, dealing just with a two-year takeover. Now, the difference between this one is House Bill 1174 has some amendments that have been added to it. The senator from the 15th has added an amendment, and then on top of that, the senator from the 1st added a substitute amendment dealing with a Turner fix. And I believe the senator from the 7th...
Did that go on the bill?
No, it has not yet. They've just been...
His amendment is pending. The senator from the 7th has an amendment to his amendment.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
Right. So that's where we are right now. And so it has taken on somewhat a little bit more of a life than just the two-year takeover. It is now a discussion dealing with the Turner fix. And so there, as far as the specifics of that, you might want to go and talk with the senator from the 15th or the the 1st or even the 7th.
But the point is that the Senate has passed a clean version of the two-year takeover for Kansas City.
That is correct.
All right, so that's already left. That's on the House.
That is correct.
They may take it up. They may not take it up.
Right.
They may pass it clean. They may not pass it clean. We don't control that. But the point in this chamber is that the underlying bill has already left this chamber once.
That is correct.
Okay. And now by bringing this bill forward, we are using it as a vehicle. I don't want to speak for you, but I think that's what's happening, a vehicle to bring in the other more controversial items relative to education policy in the state of Missouri. Is that a fair characterization?
I think that's fair, and especially when you look at the other bill we passed out of here was 33-1. You know, obviously right. It was not very controversial. Whereas I know there's a lot of discussion on this topic.
Right, and just to refresh our recollection, I know the Education Committee and the General Laws Committee have dealt with these educational issues. We have the issue of the Turner case, and I think that has been discussed. I don't know that we need to define it any more than the Turner case that's out there as an issue. You have the foundation formula fix and the issues associated with the foundation formula fix. And then you have the educational reform package that is ever evolving, from teacher tenure to teacher pensions to whatever you may call it.
Right. We did have a bill a couple of weeks ago, Senator from Saline, on charter schools and charter school reform.
Which was not that, well, it was controversial, but I think we worked through that where we were able to get to a vote
and
a vote.
And senators kept very clean. So at the end of the day, it was confined just to charter schools and charter school reform, which I thought was a good piece of legislation.
Would it be fair to characterize the reason that we are using this vehicle at this time is not so much what's on the underlying? Bill, but to really get to and delve into the foundation formula and the Turner fix, or is this underlying bill, any formula would not be germane, and that's why you're not offering an amendment to deal with the foundation formula fix?
I think it would be fair to say that some of the things that have been added is kind of the reason why we're doing that. Obviously, Senator, you know it's good to have several vehicles and
I agree.
So we can't dismiss that. But I do think this will provide an opportunity to have a discussion on the Turner. Now, as far as formula, there is no language on here dealing with the formula.
And it's probably not even germane with the formula on this bill because we're really talking.
I wouldn't think so either.
Yeah.
So, now, we've had those discussions. In fact,
right.
Even last night when we had a few moments to
debate. Oh, yeah, sure.
That came up. And certainly a huge issue that we need to discuss. But it's really not. At this point, not on this bill. And
on a germane vehicle. This is really the accelerated takeover of the Kansas City School District and then getting to the heart of a quote-unquote Turner fix.
Yes.
And I think there's competing ideas as it relates to a quote-unquote Turner fix, whether there's a perspective of a receiving school and the perspective of a sending school. Would that be a fair characterization? I think that's where we get into the differences in perspectives from the senator from the 15th and the senator from the 1st.
I think it certainly depends on your perspective, where you live and where you represent. And then the third competing thing is, what's good state policy?
Right.
I mean, we just can't abdicate this to St. Louis and Kansas City and say it's their problem. I mean, as a state, it's everybody's problem. It's everybody's issue.
Right. All right, and I appreciate the history lesson bringing us back up to speed on where we are and where that was so that everybody can can turn their gears back to that time frame and we can pick up where that is. So I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you.
Senator, Mr. President?
Senator from Kate.
If I can inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield.
Do.
He yields, sir. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I think you have set another record. You have the largest seersucker suit to ever be worn in the Missouri Senate, height-wise, not girth.
They killed a lot of seersuckers for this suit, Senator.
Yes, yes. And are they in season?
Well, up in Alaska, what they do is they go up there. It's a brutal process where they murder seersucker animals.
Those aren't baby seersuckers that you're wearing.
I think they're adult seersuckers.
Okay, so we're not talking about...
Clark, you may not know, Lewis and Clark discovered the first seersucker on their way up, as they departed from St. Louis. So in the proud
tradition... Was that in St. Charles or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
I think the senator from the 23rd is going to have an argument here.
Yeah, I know. Well, he won't say that in front of the RCGA. When he's talking to the Farm Bureau, he might say that. But yeah, I'm proud of my seersucker. You're wearing yours as a senator from Cole.
It's the first truly non-controversial thing within the Republican caucus.
That's right.
The Seersucker Wednesday that we're bringing back in.
Hope springs eternal via the Seersucker.
Right, right. A glee jacket. I called it a letter jacket, not a crest, but I guess the Range Roverness doesn't want a letter jacket. They want a crest now, is what I'm being told.
The barristers are a little more fond of it than the Wall Street financiers.
I could probably help them with an iron-on patch. That's more my speed down there. I'm not sure I can get an embroidered.
Although Dalhousie, I must say, is a fine golf course.
I just mow the grass there.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I just mow the grass there. And anything. But we had a dialogue earlier, was it 3 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, that we dealt with this issue. I think you shared the perspective. I also got a history of why we ask in the St. Louis area where you went to high school, and was educated on that and appreciated. But I just want to refresh our perspective. And it goes to the way I see your issue, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think your motivating factor, and I shared at the time, was Principal Charlie Clifford's rule that you didn't want the educational process of one student to harm or hamper the educational process of an existing or another student.
Well, and also, I also think there's a fundamental compact that taxpayers have with their taxing jurisdictions, in this case the school districts, where they go in and they say, because of the way the foundation formula is set in the area that I live in, if they're going to build new buildings, they're going to hire new teachers, they got to go to local taxpayers because there's no new state money that's really ever coming. So they go to taxpayers and say, we want to build this building because we need the space, or we want to hire more teachers because we have the space, or we have a growth in population. Those local taxpayers, there's an assumption made, of course, that we are taxing ourselves to educate students in that geographic or that political jurisdiction. And we can wish that wasn't the case. We could argue maybe people want open enrollment and the school districts don't matter. But I try to work in what is, and that is what is. And I think it's probably fair to say I'm taking the perspective of we have to be able to find a way for, I'm sure anybody, if they were up here in a similar situation as I am as a St. Louis County legislator, it is absolutely reasonable for a receiving district to be able to determine the number of slots. I'm not even saying absolutely no, never, no transfer, never.
Right.
But to allow those slots to be determined, the Center from the First has a little bit of a different angle because he represents part of St. Louis City and is taking a little bit of a different approach. The belief is that maybe they're on the road to accreditation and we don't want to do harm in that district and have the drain of resources that might follow if a lot of these kids are transferring to county districts. I think this is sort of a two-step for me. One is, I think, first, do no harm, allow those districts to establish reasonable criteria, but we ought to have the dialogue and figure out how is the best way to move forward to improve or accelerate the change in St. Louis Public or in other districts that have challenges. And that can mean a wide variety of things by way of education reform. Sure. But as I stand here right now on April, whatever this is, I feel like the area that I represent deserves the opportunity to establish those criteria and the number of slots, and that's why I've offered the amendment.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I apologize for interrupting the debate between, but I would like to seek unanimous.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Very special guest today. We have the other half of the fourth graders from Kratz Elementary School in the gallery. I am so excited to introduce these students because after redistricting, I wonder whether or not I would have these students still. I do, by a block. So if the body would please warmly welcome these beautiful students from Kratz Elementary School, that would be absolutely fabulous.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 14th please rise and let and the body make them feel very welcome. Senators, you may proceed with your debate.
Thank you, Mr. President, to continue my inquiry.
Proceed.
Thank you, and I appreciate that perspective, and I think in our original dialogue, I can see moving in that direction. What we talked about, and I don't know if you've given it any other thought, The fear is if we were to go the route that you have that says the district gets to control the determination of slots and basically whether individuals can come in or not, what is the check if they just throw up zero as the number of slots that are out there? And I know that, you know, we can say, oh, they won't do that, but I would feel more comfortable, and this is where I think we left off our dialogue 2.5 weeks ago, of thinking about some kind of sunset provision to say, yes, the Turner case is coming. We don't want a judge to resolve this issue. We can put a legislative stop to that case, give them the ability to have the freedom to work this out, but if it doesn't work out to an accommodating degree, then a sunset would kick in and they could go right back to that court action if, you know, it wasn't shown that the schools were open and had the slots and worked in a cooperative fashion. And I know back in March that wasn't appealing to you. I don't know in the middle of April if that's more appealing, knowing that May 18th is coming.
I mean, part of this is, you know, I want to fix it, but at the same time, I want to do it in a way that doesn't create sort of an artificial leverage, okay? Because we can talk about a lot of these other issues, and a lot of them ought to pass. Some of them ought to fail. We, you know, tenure's been out there. I think right. Merit pay, if there's a way to do it, to reward really good teachers is a smart thing to do to improve the education of kids. But I think if you asked somebody in the street or in the private moments with a senator, say, look, do you think that a receiving district should have the chance to establish those criteria? I think most people would agree, right? But I understand the dynamic that we're in. So to your point in the conversation, I have tried to work on what might be the best way to deal with it, and I think one of the ways to move forward on that is to look at what do we do currently if a school district isn't following something that they should be doing. The one thing that I have seen, and I do have an amendment to this effect, if we get there, is to allow for, currently in my amendment it says that the primary criteria for establishing the number of slots available in classrooms are high quality teachers and available classroom space. So really the calculation is, do you have room? Okay, do you have room? And there's a few ways you can look at it. One is, what has the average number of students been in that grade level over the past 3 years?
So you're talking about, instead of a sunset, and I like this, sort of a algebraic equation instead of a subjective determination.
Well, I'm going here because okay. I think this is what you and maybe
right.
other people are
right.
looking
right.
for.
And
I personally think, and we talk about it a lot, local control, letting those local districts determine that. I think that is at the heart of at least where our party and I think a lot of in Democrats would believe that education, the best policy. I don't believe that we're a super school board up here. I think that we set parameters, we do things, we distribute dollars, but at the end of the day, the values that are reflected in those local school districts should be represented by the people who are elected to make those decisions in those local school boards. And so this kind of falls in line with that. So if we're up to me, I think they ought to have, but I understand, I don't want to see that happen. I don't want districts throwing up an artificial goose egg if they have 500 spaces available.
Right.
I don't, given where we're at with the law and its interpretation by the Supreme Court, you know, that's not a direction that I think is fair either. So, what I'm saying is to look at to say some objective criteria of where you've been. Okay, so average of the last 3 years, maybe we'll get here at some point, average of last 3 years, or you've got, if you've already established criteria, Kirkwood, for example, as they determine the number of, say, VIC students, they have criteria, student-teacher ratios that have been in place for a while. So you don't want somebody switching it, you know, at the last minute. I think that that's inequitable. So if they already have established criteria, that ought to be looked at, or the MCIP criteria for that grade level, where DESE has come out. Personally, I don't like that really, but it is sort of a default fallback on classroom space or student-teacher ratios that could be used. What's the hammer? Well, if you don't, currently in law, if you don't provide the requisite professional development, 1% of your state aid can be withheld. That's sort of a precedent that's been out there, and I guess I'm okay with that because I think most of the districts that I represent seriously want to solve this problem and will have legitimate criteria by which they set.
But so I think what you're highlighting and what we're trying to do is the difference between the Senate and the House, where we get good-intentioned individuals that think about this problem. I originally threw out, what do you think of sunset? Yeah. You came back in the dialogue after thinking about it. How about an objective criteria? Yeah. And that's the production, that's the process that can occur in the Senate to get to an ultimate solution that I think is healthy. In whether it's in this particular piece of legislation, in an appropriation bill, or any type of deal. That's the traditions of the Senate, and I appreciate you moving in that direction and working with that, because I think that that is a viable, legitimate alternative to a sunset.
Yeah, because I have to assume that the people that are elected in this chamber, the other 33 people, when you spend all that time knocking on doors and doing, there is a belief in your core that you're coming up here to try to, you say, you use your Eagle Scout, I said it in speeches, to leave my little corner of the world a little better place. Mm-hmm. And the situation I find myself in right now as a state senator representing the 15th district, this is a very big issue because the taxpayers feel, that I represent, feel very helpless right now. That they have, to a large degree, funded those schools locally, are proud of those school districts, but yet have no control over the number of kids that are in those classrooms. And so that's a very legitimate, real issue.
Which I think any measurable deal says classroom size has an impact on the educational environment and the quality of education.
And I also hear what you, I try to do this earnestly, I hear what you're saying, what some other people are saying, we don't want people to, and I get that. So as I've tried to, over the last couple of weeks, figure out a way, that's the most reasonable approach I can find. There's a precedent, we do it already. It's a statement of public policy for us to say we take this seriously. It's still dollars. I mean, that's ultimately something that means something to school districts. And so I think that would be an advisable way to go to allow a quote-unquote Turner fix to move forward. And it's not everything that I want. It's not how I would, draft the bill necessarily, because I do think it takes a little bit away from those local decisions that should be made. But in an effort to move this thing along, I think
you're crafting that language, or you do have
I have an amendment to offer. I think where we're really at on this is, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, get everybody, ready to roll again on this thing. And I hope that there's an odd among the people here that given the importance to the area that I represent in the St. Louis region, to allow this thing to at least have a full debate and see where we go.
Sure.
We have my amendment, and then the Center from the First offers his, which kind of gives the
donor
St. Louis
sending
schools. And in that perspective, and then I think where we left was the Senator from the Seventh had an amendment to deal with accreditation issues within St. Louis Public. And so once we're able to vote up that, up or down, or see where we go, I'm prepared to offer that amendment, have a discussion, and try and move this thing along in the best way.
Well, I appreciate it. And where we left that, I appreciate you sharing with me that you did have some thought about how to objectively, instead of subjectively, determine what would be the available slots that would be opened up in a district. So I appreciate your work on that. I appreciate the inquiry, and thank you very
Thanks.
Much, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
To inquire the Senator from the First.
Senator from the First, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. President.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I don't know if you heard my inquiry with the Senator from the 15th. Kind of going through that thought process, I wanted to also give you the opportunity and me the opportunity to briefly put us back in the frame of mind where we were when you offered the amendment and shared with us your perspective, your concerns relative to this quote-unquote, and I don't know what to call it other than Turner fix issue.
Certainly, Senator. Yes, I did listen to your inquiry with the Senator from the 15th. I think he laid it out very well. I think that I'm in a unique position in that when we look at this Turner fix, my district, the current first district, covers parts of South City, St. Louis City, and St. Louis County. So I have districts that could be affected by this Turner decision in different ways. So I believe that my amendment, my substitute amendment to the senator from the 15th, which included all his language, I believe that the two concepts come from maybe differing directions, but they fit hand in glove in that what I'm trying to do is ensure that there is certainty for my county districts as far as where the senator from the 15th is going. And then also, I don't want to this Turner decision to undermine the progress that's been made in the city of St. Louis.
And you believe the progress would be undermined if there was a huge flight?
There was an exodus from...
Exodus?
Yes, sure, from the city
so
of St.
Unlike,
Louis under the Turner decision. Then resources would be gone.
You don't want Moses to lead his people out?
Well, you know, we really don't know, you know, what the unintended consequences
right.
of this decision would be, but certainly... If you have resources, if you have children, if you have families that were committed to these community schools, that all of a sudden decide, well, we're going to go to a Clayton, or we're going to go to a Lindbergh, or we're going to go to a Melville, you know, we're going to go to a Kirkwood. You know, and these opportunities, because of this Turner fix, and really, again, the idea of something that's been in statute, my understanding, the original statute since the 1930s, then all of a sudden it means this. And so what I'm trying to do is put forth a fix that, again, will help the progress that's been made. Are they where they want to be? No, but they're heading in the right direction. You know, when they, I think when they went were unaccredited, they had 2 points towards accreditation. Now they
and that's where we got, not to get into the weeds too much, but all of the things that they're moving towards accreditation have nothing to do with academic outcome, right?
Well, you're right in the respect that the 6 points that they currently have towards accreditation, none of those are academic. But now
they ever have to get any of the academic points to reach the accreditation
have to
after
get, you have to have one, I believe, to get
okay.
Provisionally accredited.
Okay.
Now, the senator from the 7th offered an amendment to my amendment.
Yeah, I'm going to get to her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I bring that up
right.
is because I believe that what the senator has asked in her amendment is a standard that when you have an unaccredited school that's making progress and moving towards accreditation, to put a standard on them that I would call unreasonable, because this standard that the senator is asking for in her amendment, they would be an accredited school district. I mean, the amendment...
Instead of a provisionally accredited.
Yeah, they'd be fully accredited. I mean, it says that they would meet the standards for communication arts and mathematics in its annual performance report. I mean...
But so in her defense...
Right.
In her defense, if we look at a school, what do we think of a school? Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Certainly.
And I think that's where the balance is coming from on do we relieve a district because they've met MCEP standards to a provisional degree, whether it's they got their daily attendance up or whatnot, but aren't really focused on the outcome of reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right, and I appreciate
that. And I think
that,
that's
Senator.
Where the balance.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Because what are we paying all this money for?
And I see the frustration from the senator from the 7th in that, and she's made the point, you know, they've been unaccredited for how long?
Generations.
But what I do see now is I see a superintendent and an SAB that are working towards accreditation and are heading in the right direction. They have 6 points. Towards accreditation. Granted, none of those are the academic points.
Right.
And, you know, the point I tried to make the last time we were on this bill was that the fix that I'm suggesting is that within the city of St. Louis, of the 65 buildings, you have 60 buildings that have achieved AYP, all right? And what my amendment would do is allow for a student that isn't...
Average yearly progress, AYP, under No Child Left Behind, NICLBE. We could do these, acronyms all.
So my thought is you build good communities around good community schools. And if there is a school that is, and as the senator said, we don't accredit school buildings, but they are meeting that standard.
What about doing that? Why don't we accredit? And, thinking out loud, we're well-intended senators, are not the House. We're not a super body of one. And we have a dialogue of ideas where putting together the collective thought process may come to a better outcome. What if we were to say, in this particular situation, we're going to have mini school districts, M-I-N-I, not M-A-N-Y, but M-I-N-I, mini school districts. And then if you're in that mini school district that's hitting average yearly progress, you can't go into St. Louis County. But if you are in one of those mini, M-I-N-I, school part, components, you might be able to leave.
Well, again...
Is that viable at all?
I think that we have provisions in my bill that we heard in education and was actually voted out of it, the Education Committee, as a standalone bill. We have provisions that if the progress does not continue, that certainly these children and these families would have the opportunity, to go to the adjacent districts and to be able to have the home district pay for that, okay? But because, and again, you say it over and over and over again, the idea that we have discussion, we have debate in this body, we are slow, we are deliberate. And just think about this bill. I mean, how many times has it been up? How many times have we had this discussion? And I think that I really have learned things from the senator from the 7th in the idea that she believes it's important for us to have a higher standard. So her amendment, although I think the standard was really high, for an unaccredited district that's moving in the right direction, but to say if they don't achieve this, then we're going to pull the rug out from under them. I actually have another amendment that I've dropped that would actually kind of go the way the Senator of the 7th wants to go, and that's to set a little higher standard to say if they don't achieve an academic point towards accreditation, then all bets are off. And they have the opportunity then to go to those neighboring districts. So, again, I think because of this discussion and because of us in this body being able to say, we don't have it exactly where it needs to be.
Right.
That was 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks later, this is an idea that we've come up with.
Fair enough, and I appreciate your perspective, Senator, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
To inquire the Senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th. Do you yield to the Senator from Cape?
I do, Mr. President.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I've had an inquiry with the Senator from Johnson. I've had an inquiry with the Senator from the 15th. I've had an inquiry with the Senator from the 1st. And now thank you for yielding for an inquiry from you. What I'm trying to do is to refresh the body's recollection of when we were on this bill last. The Senator from Johnson talked about the underlying bill and the issues facing education. Senator from the 15th shared his perspective and his amendment that he's offered. The Senator from the 1st has shared his perspective and the amendment that he has offered. He's also, both the Senator from the 1st and the Senator from the 15th have foreshadowed new ideas since we left this bill back that they have thought, listened to the concerns that were discussed on the floor, and in a productive manner have come up with new ideas to try to move this forward. And I wanted to take just a brief moment to allow you to reflect on your amendment and any comments that you may have in that process as well. So I appreciate you yielding.
Great.
Sure, and I appreciate you going through this process so we can kind of get our heads wrapped around where we were. It's kind of hard with everything that's intervened. Basically, the senator from the first amendment to the amendment that the senator from 15th put in basically says, let's delay any movement of children from this unaccredited district as long as there's any progress that anybody can find under, behind any door, under any table, under anything. If there's a little bit of progress, then we are going to make sure that for another 2 years they stay right where they are. Now, the problem I had with that is, and you've probably heard me saying it over and over again, things that we do in this accountability requires something being observable and measurable. Because if it's not measurable, it's hard to know how to act on that. So I wanted to put some measurable standards in here, at which case that we really do have progress where progress was important. If we say that the standard that we have is maybe more parent involvement or maybe the progress is a few more children graduate, although a good thing, the very basic foundation of education is learning. And the very basic of learning is reading and writing, just as you said. And probably the next most basic thing as far as being able to be a successful and contributing participant in society and be able to get a job is math. So what I thought is, if we truly are going to make sure there's progress that is making the district worthy of keeping the children in that district, then it needs to be reading, comprehension, and math. Those two academic standards. They're very measurable. DESE has them there. They're accountable. And if you don't cheat on the map, which unfortunately that's what just happened, so we don't know what the progress is because I think there's some investigation of the cheating. Now, of about the 100 reports in the state of cheating on the map, a third of them came from the city of St. Louis Public Schools, and they've still not been fully investigated and whatever happens from that. So, number one, you have to depend on the validity of the numbers that are coming in. And number two, you have to make sure that what we really hold in the highest esteem in education is learning and those two things. So that's all I was trying to do is take the senator's amendment and make sure we count something that number one is countable and number two that matters.
And to the senator from the first credit, he articulated another amendment as an alternative to yours. He believes that your amendment is too high. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think in this transition, in this progress that is going on, that it would set a bar that is so high that it would ensure defeat. Sort of like if I was training. Interesting fact, my wife is going to run in a marathon. All right, so she's been training, and this will be her second marathon. She wants me to start running in marathons. I tell her I run when chased. Am I chased.
I still didn't hear that. You run what?
No. My wife wants me to run, and she says, why don't you run? And my response to her is, I run when chased. Chased. When I'm being chased.
Oh, when you're being chased. Okay, sorry. That has double meaning, and I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, so
I don't think that's what you
mean. Yeah, I run when chased, and I'm rarely chased.
Okay.
But I think what the senator is saying, that if I started running and I had to be compared to my wife that has been doing it the way that she's doing it, even though it would be meaningful progress to get me out of the couch and off of American Idol, WWE wrestling, all of those wonderful TV programs, it would be progress for me to move on from that and start running. If all of a sudden the way in which I was going to be judged in my running would be to the distances that she can run now, it would be self-defeating. You'd get me off the couch once, and then I'd double down on that lifestyle. So I think that's his point, and to his credit, in our dialogue, he said, after listening to your concerns, What if, instead of the non-academic points that go to accreditation, for his amendment to kick in, you must meet at least one academic point of accreditation? And I think that's kind of where the dialogue is.
Sure.
And I think everyone kind of sees the process in which it's unfolding, and I think that's healthy, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that. And then once we get that done, I think, you know, either we're going to get to some votes on this or not. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or...
Good. We're on the right dialogue.
I think so.
We're on the dialogue of what is it that we want our outcomes to be. And I also think the other part of that dialogue is we need to make sure we're focused on children and not adults, that we're focused on what's best for children. And the lower we put the threshold, let's just say it's reading, although very good, and I certainly am in favor of that being the first one to get done. If we just say a district, if they just reach proficient in reading, then we'll give them two more years or whatever that kind of thing is, you know, that they can stay there. The thresholds are so low now that it keeps districts together and keeps children in a district that is so underperforming. And then what we see are the outcomes when you see that I think it's 53% of all the inmates in Missouri come from three school districts. That's where we see the outcome of the decisions we're making. So we have to make really, really sure that everything we're doing gives the students the best opportunity to learn those skills that will keep them out of jail, that will make them productive citizens. And so that, to me, needs to be our focus. And everything we pass needs to pass that sniff test as well.
And I appreciate their perspective, but, you know, as I wanted to say, we started with the senator from Johnson 2 weeks ago. We had dialogue with the senator from the 15th. He shared new thought process after this dialogue on the Senate floor. The senator from the first has shared his perspective. 2 weeks have passed since we talked about this. He has now adjusted his perspective, and I think you've got your perspective to move forward. That's what I was interested in, and I appreciate all of the inquiries. And from this point, I think we are on your amendment, and I think everyone has gotten that refresher course. So I appreciate the inquiries, and with that, Senator, I'm going to sit down.
Thank you.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 7th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
In the upper gallery, I have one of my colleagues on the school board, Dr. Tom Peters. He's here to visit us in the Capitol today. He testified on a bill in the Education Committee, and the subject that we're talking about right now, he's very interested in. So if the body would give him a very warm welcome.
If you guess the senator from the 14th, please rise, and the body will make him feel very welcome. Welcome to the Senate. We're on the motion of the senator from the 7th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
President, to inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. Just a couple of things on your amendment, and just so we can get some clarification. Your amendment and the standard that it would set for the St. Louis City School District, would that make the standard for the St. Louis City School District higher than any other district in the state?
No, absolutely not.
Are you sure, Senator?
Oh, yeah, because that just has two standards, and there are many school districts that are fully accredited that meet all 14 standards.
I mean for any other unaccredited school district in the state.
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
It would not?
No, but see, I was amending your amendment, which was changing the rules for one school district, and so therefore my amendment to your amendment was reflecting the same thing. I mean, we're dealing with one school district, right?
Correct.
So, therefore, within dealing with that one
school district, you're treating St. Louis City School District in a different way than other accredited school districts as far as their progress and how they're judged by setting a higher standard for them.
Okay, I would be happy to expand that, but I don't think then it would be relevant to your underlying amendment to the amendment.
If St. Louis City School Districts met the standards of your amendment, would they be accredited?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. One other question. On a number of occasions, you've made reference to cheating going on map testing in the city of St. Louis.
Right, and you also know that there was an investigation and they found that some attendance records were being padded.
Okay, I've got a letter here that's dated April 4th, 2012, addressed to you from the president of the SAB, Rick Sullivan. And just halfway through the letter, it addresses, I guess, an article that was written, was it in the Post-Dispatch, by Ms. Crouch. As she stated in her article, that 32 of the nearly 100 reports were from the entire St. Louis area.
Right, that's exactly.
And the 100 were across the state of Missouri, 32 from the St. Louis region, and only 3 of those reports were related to the SLPS, the St. Louis Public Schools. And of those 3 were minor infractions. And that DESE investigated, and it's my understanding that there were suspensions that were involved for those that were involved in those 3 occurrences. So I think that it's a little misleading to say that there were 100 reports, and they all pertain to the city of St. Louis.
I thought they did. I would have to go back and find that article, but when I read it, obviously you can see why I thought that, because that's what it seem to imply. I'd have to go back to the article and see it. But I do know that it was. And suspension of someone in an educational institution that cheats,
it says minor infractions, and it says they were all self-reported by the district. Senator, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as the senator from Cape alluded to, because of the dialogue we've had over the number of weeks on these issues of education reform,
mm-hmm.
The Turner fix and others, and I think that you've put forth some very good points, and they've affected the way I think about how we should proceed on this. And I've dropped an amendment that I believe would be a higher standard that currently is included in my bill. And it would also put a standard on the progress that's being made in the St. Louis Public Schools so that they would have to achieve an academic point for my bill to affect the Turner decision at all. So I just am curious if we're moving in the right direction and this is something that we could try to work together on.
I don't see your amendment. Has it been distributed? Are
yes.
you getting ready to?
No, it's been distributed.
What's the number on it?
It ends with .01S.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Subject to the provisions of subsection.
Direct you to page 2.
Okay.
Starting at line
7.
20.
Oh, 20. All right. Let me just read the whole thing because I haven't seen it. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. Except as otherwise provided in this section, the provisions of this section shall not apply to any unaccredited school district during the first 2 full years operating under the authority of the Special Administrative Board appointed, under DESE, and for additional time as the school district operating under the SAB demonstrates improvement in its annual performance report under the Missouri School Improvement Program or its equivalent successor. For each subsequent 2-year period after the initial 2-year period. Okay, so that's kind of what you had in already. I thought. That's sort of what I thought you already had.
Yeah, but where I wanted to direct you, Senator, was the line.
Hey, well, 20. I just want to make sure I don't miss anything.
Okay.
Let's see, after January, at least one of the additional annual performance reports that the school district gains during the subsequent 2-year period must be for a
Ore Point that is measured in whole or in part by utilizing Missouri Assessment Program student testing data. For the purposes of this subsection, the term improvement shall mean that the school district gained at least one. We need to do a standard. The word to be, that needs to be used in here.
We had this discussion last time, Senator. We had this discussion last time. The standard is already set forth by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Right, but if we could, like you'll see in my amendment, has met all MCIP standards for communication arts and math. So I think those are the terms that are appropriate for this. If indeed what you're trying to do is meet, like, are you going to say reading, or which one are you pointing out?
Well, any of the academic standards. My understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, of the 14 points, 8 are non-academic and 6 are academic.
5 are really truly academic, and the 6th one, I think, just is an improvement thing. They give them now based on a certain amount of improvement.
Okay, and this is a standard that's set forth by DESE.
Right, but the ones I'm looking at are the 5 academic ones, and to me, the most basic one, and we all know if you can't read, you can't do anything else. So to me, that's why I specified that in mine, and even though I think it's a low standard, even though I think it's too low of a standard, it is the one that DESE has right now, and I'd be willing to compromise with you if you put in here that they've met the reading comprehension, I think, comprehensive arts, is that what it's called?
So in doing that, then, we would set a different standard, a higher standard, for one of 522 school districts in the state. Why would we do that? Why would we write a law?
No, it wouldn't. So
that would affect only the city of St. Louis and their school district.
No, actually, that would be the same as all the rest of them. It comes right down to the DESE standards that they have now.
What you're saying is what you'd like to see us do is change the city of St. Louis would have to achieve the point for reading.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes, I would
indicate
that.
And instead of, the standard for everybody else is, if you get one of the 5 or 6 or whatever it is, then you can be provisionally accredited.
Which standard do you like to see the district meet?
I'm just trying to work within the confines of what our Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has set up for this process.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to do is what I spoke with the senator from CAPE about is as you will get to see as you have with me all these years, I have a very single focus. And it's students and their achievement and their opportunity to become successful citizens in this state. And so the most basic thing is reading. Yes, I did alter it a little from what DESE said, but I guess if you ask them, or really anybody else, if they were going to do what they thought was best for kids and they were just picking one standard, that standard would be reading. And so if you would be willing to say, even though I think it's you know, lower than what we should, but, you know, we're moving in the right direction, I agree. If you'd be willing to make that one standard, reading, I'd be willing to go along with that.
Senator, I don't want to set up a unique and harder standard for one school district out of the 522. What I'm interested in is continuing to allow St. Louis public schools to progress. They've made progression. It might not be the progression that you'd like to see. It may not be the progression that many of the families that live in St. Louis want to see. But we have a standard right now, and it's a standard that's set forth by our Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And so I want to work with you, but I also don't want to set up a higher standard for the city of St. Louis, a higher standard than any other district in the state.
You know, the city of St. Louis public schools in this state is unique from all the other districts, probably in this way. They've had the most spotty record of academics in the history of this state. And as we both know, as the senator from CAPE suggested, when you ask how long they've been unaccredited, and he said, a generation. If your child was part of that generation, it'd be pretty hard to stand here and say, well, let's not make them read. Let's maybe a civics or something like that. You know, if your child was there and you knew all your children were losing that opportunity because a whole generation had lost it, and the last time they were fully accredited by DESE was 18 years ago, and then in addition to that, people are leaving with their feet anyway. I mean, for us to try to keep kids there, we can't lock them in if they have any way out. And the mayor of this city has said, when we lost all that population, we lost a congressional seat, he says there's one reason. All those families in the city, when their children reach school age, they leave. And I believe, I know it was for a while, going at 2,000 to 3,000 a year. So why are we trying to lock them in? It seems like what we ought to do is listen to the demand, give a supply of accredited seats to those kids, because many of them are out on the street, many are ending in jail, many are homeless. Why do we keep locking people in that are fleeing anyway to no opportunity whatsoever? It just seems like we ought to be going in the other direction. And I applaud...
I think, Senator, what you're trying to accomplish is I think that you want the school district to achieve and be successful. I mean, I discount anything that you are saying. I think that to a certain extent, you know, we're punishing an entire school district for the sins of generations in the past.
Well,
and I don't think I don't think we are taking in consideration the progress that has been made. They've had all kinds of problems, and when you have a lot of problems, you don't turn that warship on a dime. I mean, it takes some time. And I believe that they are making progress, and I think the idea that since we've had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, the St. Louis Public School District brought this idea. I mean, they are saying that they agree that they should have a higher standard. And they brought this amendment to me.
And so what you're saying is then, you talk to me, why make a harder standard than the rest of the state? You've made an easier standard than all 522.
That's
is
not
that
true,
where you want to go?
Senator. How so? That
it is
not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Explain to me why it's not easier.
Because if they don't achieve that one point.
So let's go back to your underlying amendment, because you said they brought that to you. And they said, well, if we make any progress at all, if we maybe breathe the right number of breaths or something like that.
That was the beginning of the process, Senator.
Okay.
This is a process that we do in here, right?
Okay.
And that was the beginning of the process.
Okay.
The bill this year was different than the bill last year. All right, right? And you were successful in stopping the bill last year. This bill is different, okay? And it's different today than when it was voted out of committee, or at least it's evolved to the point that I'd like to make it different.
Well, do you think, I mean, if we're talking about do we want to make it the same, do we want to make it easier to keep the kids there the same, or do we want to make it so the kids have a chance for more opportunity sooner, it seems like logically people are going to say, you know, let the kids go. They're leaving anyway. We're losing congressmen. The city's losing a revenue base and losing their good population they want. So it seems like the more we could go towards pulling people back because of the opportunities we're giving would be the direction we ought to be going. And I want to ask you a question. You had mentioned earlier, and I just want to go through these statistics. You said 60 of the 65 schools had made adequate yearly progress. I just want to make sure I got that right.
That's what's been communicated to me, yes.
Where'd you get that?
From the district.
Who in the district?
From the administration.
Kelvin Adams?
So, I mean...
I want to check that, because that was a strong statement. That was a strong statement, and we need to understand it.
Right,
so,
right.
So Dr. Adams actually told you that 60 of 65 schools made adequate yearly progress.
The representation from the SAB.
Okay, well, I've got the actual numbers. And I can show them to you so you can see it. It's actually 15 of 74.
Well,
15 schools out of 74 made.
And what definition are you using?
This is 2011, Missouri AYP summary, the most recent list. I've got it right here. I can name you the schools. 15 of 74. That's a lot different than 60 of 65.
Again, Senator, I'd like to see that list and know what standard that they're applying, and maybe we can compare notes.
This is something that's measured by standards set under No Child Left Behind, and so it is. It's measurable and all that kind of stuff. So 15 of 74 is I just want to make sure we're talking about the right thing, because, you know, if
we're talking about two different things.
No, we're not. It's adequate yearly progress. AYP is the same.
Well, you're telling me what I'm talking about. So, I mean, I don't have that information in front of me, so I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
I can't get it to you, I don't think.
I think we're talking about two different things.
No, we're not. I mean, you use the term adequate yearly progress, and there's only one adequate yearly progress measurement. And I had it printed off just to make sure, because I don't want you to think, or anybody to really think, I mean, do we want them to make progress? Of course we do. But the progress is so minimal that I'm going to be inquiring of the senator from Stoddard shortly when we get back to my amendment, because he's looked into some of the progress too, and he's studied it, and he knows the numbers. And I think to make people think there's been a enough progress that we should do something differently.
Enough progress? Has there been progress?
I think the senator from Stoddard has those numbers, and I think he's probably looked at them more recently than I have. Obviously, we know that there has not been significant enough progress to meet one academic standard, which I think we've sort of come to as the real measurement of what matters. I mean, I sort of hope we have. At least I appreciate the fact that you're moving in that direction. And Senator,
all right, Senator.
So
I'm just getting a text here, and I'm going to apologize to you and the body. It is 16, not 60.
Oh, 16, not 60. Oh, okay, so
60.
That's a lot closer
to
the
lot
numbers
closer
I have.
But within those 16 schools that are reaching AYP, they have 2,000 seats available, so that in the event of my amendment, students that are in a school building that is not accredited or meeting AYP, there are 2,000 seats available for them to go to a neighboring a school within their community, and I know that was a concern of you that the seats may not be available, but just so we have updated information, there are 2,000 seats available in those 16 schools.
Right, and I'm going to be inquiring of the senator from the 4th or 5th, I get these numbers mixed up, the 4th. You talked last week about the letters that parents are sent to make sure they know they have this opportunity. Have you ever seen one of those letters?
I haven't.
It's very enlightening, and the senator from the 4th has actually seen those letters, and I've actually asked DESE in the past, and I'm disappointed that they haven't done this. I've asked that they write those letters and have the districts use them, and this is typically around the country. I've seen a lot of these letters. They start out in very tiny print. They have stacked up paragraphs. They go on forever, and the beginning of the letter I saw from St. Louis made it look like their school had just gotten a national award for excellence. And it started out that way, and it went on with such buzzword language that most people would not even understand what they're reading. And finally, when they get to the point about letting them know what their opportunities are, I doubt if many people would understand the opportunities if they actually read that. I tried myself to read it. So it's helpful, and the senator from the 4th will be able to explain that because he's also seen those letters. So basically nobody understands it if they even got past the first paragraph. The first paragraph, I tell you, I've seen it. It's that long, all stacked together with tiny little letters. I mean, I can still picture that letter. So I do believe, and I hope DESE's listening, that they would be able to start putting together letters that are more understandable by lay people. Because none of us, into these buzzwords in every area, and nobody else understands what we're talking about.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry.
Huh?
So on the motion of the senator from the 7th, does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak on the motion, Mr. President.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. On the amendment, I'm sorry. Mr. President, I've sat here in my seat now for several weeks and listened to the debate on public education, primarily centered on the public schools of the city of St. Louis, public schools of Kansas City. I'm a resident of the city of St. Louis. I represent the public schools. I am a product of the public schools, as were my parents and my sons and half of my grandchildren at this point. And I've heard many, many things that have caused me to catch my breath and bite my tongue. I have to push back on some of the information that I've heard, Mr. President. I want to start with one statement that I heard here just recently, that there are three districts in the state that pretty much are filling our prisons. And I assume that St. Louis, being one of those districts, comes from a lack of many things. And one of them has to be with an accredited school system at this point. Now, St. Louis Public Schools had AAA ratings at one point in its history, so it is not the worst performing district in the history of the state of Missouri, number one. Number two, I hear a lot of things about the rights of children, and yes, indeed, they have a right to a decent education, but they also have a right to peaceful enjoyment. They have a right to play in front of their house without being a crime victim. They have a right to have a decent living wage in the household so that it does indeed stabilize the household, stabilize the neighborhood, and does not contribute to the prisoner population in the state of Missouri. If indeed we had some discussions here this year and more discussions last year about the development of living wages and jobs in our urban areas, many of the problems that we speak of routinely in this chamber would be beginning to decrease. A lot of that is juvenile delinquency, juvenile crime. That may also be truancy in our schools. But we cannot fix the problems in our environment truly by using the backs of our children to push legislation that really does not fix the problem. We need to have, once again, a decent economy in our neighborhoods. Our children have a right to go to the school down the block that they can see. Why do they have to get on a bus and go somewhere else? That costs money. The amount of money that we spend to put children from the urban areas on a bus to the suburban or rural areas is ridiculous. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the cost of fuel on those buses when those children could walk to the schools at the end of their block. When you pick a kid up out of their neighborhood at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, put them on a yellow bus and send them somewhere where I know for a fact that they sit on the bus in one of our suburban districts until the bell rings, you are not helping that child. You have just told that child your school down the block that you can see is shuttered. It's no good. Your neighborhood is no good. You have to go to another neighborhood to get the education that I think you should have. So I'm going to take the money and put it somewhere else as opposed to putting it in the school at the end of your block, as opposed to working on legislation for the families, the fathers, the mothers, or whomever is the head of the household to have a decent wage to ensure that the household is stable enough that the child is fed, nurtured, clothed, in bed at a decent time so they can get up and be at school ready to learn. I have been a classroom teacher. I did it for 10 years. I don't think anybody else in this body has done that. I taught poor children, black, white, and non-English speaking Mexican children, and I took French all through high school and all through college. My brother-in-law, who took Spanish, came in to help me work with the Mexican children, but they were in their neighborhood. But I also know that a child that has issues at home won't perform. I don't care where you send that child. You must stabilize the home. And most of you in here are college educated. You've had some general psychology. You are clearly aware of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If the child is not fed, clothed, and nurtured, it does not matter about the environment of the school. What we must first do is stabilize the adults, the parents. We need to take our dollars and make sure that they are stable. We need to take this money and put it back into the school down the block. If it can work in Afton, why can't it work at Ashland School on Newstead and Natural Bridge? Why do we have this underperforming problem? Is it the test? Is it the teachers? Is it the environment? I have not heard anything about the math test. And those of us in this body who've been working on this know that there is a commission. They are appointed. They create the test. Do we see the test? Have we asked for the test? There are children in every district in this state who do not do well on that test. Now, I don't care if it's Rockwood. I don't care if it's the city of St. Louis. I don't care if it's Kansas City. Why is that? How is the test structured? That's one thing. Second thing, I have not heard any discussion about teacher certification. That brings me to the Imagine debacle. We have thrown 4,000 children out of the doors of schools that somebody was not watching. Either DESE wasn't watching Missouri Baptist, or Missouri Baptist was not watching the Imagine Company. Imagine Company was not watching those four schools. Somewhere there is a failure. But 4,000 children and as many households have been impacted by that split decision, quickie decision by DESE. Who are we talking to here? Missouri Baptist is a teacher accreditation college, and they can't manage charter schools? What is the problem? We are putting it back on the backs of the children once again with tax credits and charter schools and vouchers. The public money is for public education. There will always be a need. There will always be a reason. There will always be a population who wants it. We need to make it a class act. And those of you I've had discussion with have heard me say that before. If you do not want the children from the city of St. Louis to be in your schools, fine. Then give us the money that you're trying to pick apart to put back into this system. If the teachers are no good, let's look at teacher accreditation. If the MAP is no good and the MAP test, let's look at the MAP test and find out what's wrong with it. What I'm hearing is not going to fix anything. And I essentially said this a year ago. I sit and listen because this is my position. I'm not trying to make a better bill. I'm not trying to make an amendment. I'm trying to make it right in the environment. We must stop using the backs of our school children to correct economic, social, and racial problems. We fixed that in 1954-55 with Brown versus Education. And I do believe we're getting ready to have to do it again. I was 5-6 years old then. I'm 62. And we're doing it again. What are we talking about here? If you don't want us, just say that. I don't want these kids in my district. How can I help you? Give us the money. I applaud the senator from the first who's been standing up trying to hold on to the progress that we've made in the St. Louis public schools. They are not a pariah. There are great things that happen inside of those schools, but the press is never going to say that because the idea is here as well as in Kansas City, get hold to these public dollars. Let's do it a different way. And we are not talking about the children. We are not talking about their welfare from 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening. You put 4,000 children on a bus and send them away from their homes. Are there any other children in the district? Is there any other child in the state besides the two urban areas going through that? Have you been on that bus with that kid? Have you sat on that bus on the lot till the bell rings in the Afton School District so those kids can go in? Do we know for sure, and I've seen for sure from a dear friend of mine whose granddaughter goes to the Rockwood District, they send the test home for them to study. Where is that happening? Who's watching that? There are far too many discrepancies in this argument. Let's start with mom and dad and household. Those of you who came from a stable household, you had some rights about your children. All of our children need the opportunity, again, to have peaceful enjoyment, to have food, shelter, clothing, and nurture, and to go to Branson. Can there not be enough money for that? If we do that, work on that end of it, all these other things will begin to diminish. I cannot support the senator from the 7th Amendment. I'm going to support the senator from the 1st because he is holding the flag up for the city of St. Louis public schools. And the families in the city of St. Louis did not leave because of the schools. They left because there were no jobs. You have to have money in the household. You're going to have it legitimately or you're going to have it illegitimately, but there will be money in the household. It's going to come from a check or it's going to come from the street. You've got two choices. You want to reduce the problems. You want to make sure these kids are educated and have opportunities. You want to reduce the number of urban people in the prisons. Then make sure there's an economy in the household that's legitimate. When you get that done, then all of these other problems will begin to cease, and we won't have to sit here and listen to this drivel about our children. I don't want to hear any more of it. I truly do not. We need to throw all this out and start about taking this money and giving it back to Kansas City and the city of St. Louis and let us do what everybody else does with our children who are as normal as all the other children. Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th.
Thank you. May I inquire of the senator from the 1st?
Senator from the 1st, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. Now, would you explain to me, now that I've said that quietly, what your amendment does and why we find it to be effective with what we want to do?
Well, and Senator, I really appreciate the opportunity. Again, we've tried to work together over the last number of years. We can't deny, you know, the concerns of some that we've had problems in the city of St. Louis. What I have been convinced of, no matter what the number is, that there is progress being made in the right direction. And I think the worst thing that we can do to undermine that progress is for this Turner decision just to go forth and then pull the rug out from under the progress that has been made. Is the progress, you know, not been fast enough for some? Well, I guess. But you know, you look around, and you would know better than I would. But I do. I knocked down doors down in South St.
Yes,
Louis.
Yes, you have.
I love going to St. Louis. I love going down. And you see what's happening in communities down there. You know, positive things.
Positive things are
very
happening.
Very positive things.
And if we don't follow through, we pull the rug another time.
Right.
Okay, we've already pulled the rug on 4,000 kids. Do we do this again?
And you know, then what happens if we do that? Do we set the whole thing back another 20 years, another 25 years? We're talking about worrying about losing a generation.
Yes, and we have indeed lost one. I will admit we've lost a generation. We certainly have lost a generation, but a lot of it has to do with the factors that I've already spoken about. Economy, number one. What would your household be without a decent wage in a senator or anybody else in my listening? Anybody in the gallery, any of the other senators or staff here? What would your household be like? What would you have to turn to make sure you had food, that you had gas and had lights in the household? Well, there are many, many of us, 99% they say of us, are one paycheck or one piece of money away from total disaster.
And Senator, I've seen a lot of that in this very difficult economy.
Yes.
In South County.
Yes.
In South City.
Yes.
All right. So I agree completely. Now we may not always agree on how we address those concerns of how we fix our communities and economy.
Yes.
But we can agree if we have good jobs and our people are working and able to support themselves and their families, that fixes a lot of woes.
It fixes a lot of things, Senator, and that's my concern. I don't really support the SAB. I did not like the SAB coming. First of all, you disenfranchised the people who voted the other people in. And the killing part about it is they had the same problems that the elected board did. It did not change. That was not a magic wand. They've struggled and fought to get where they've gotten, but based on the same issues that the elected board had. So now we've got an elected board sitting there twiddling their thumbs, being whittled back every time we have an election, and an SAB board that could be turned over at any moment by a gubernatorial edict.
Well,
all right, and then when do we get back to letting St. Louis manage St. Louis's business?
Well, and again, Senator, it's again we work within the construct that we have.
Yes.
And you know, you and I weren't here when those laws were put
into
place.
Absolutely. Right.
But we have to work within that. And I hear your frustration because you know, in the system that we have, we elect the people that we want to represent us and make decisions, no matter what the political subdivision is, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the way our system works. Now, because of the laws that have been put in place, we have to deal with what we have,
but
right?
We have.
So we are, you know, the district is under an SAB.
Yes.
But what I don't want to do is, because of a court decision, that undermined all the progress that's been made, whatever that amount of progress is.
Yes.
If we do that, we can only go backwards.
I agree.
If we work through this together, that we can move forward.
I agree, Senator. I certainly agree. We don't need to lose any more ground. We're losing ground. We need to hold what we have to build for the future. We need to make these dollars available back to the system again. We need to have as much interest in our public schools and our buildings in the city of St. Louis as we do in the charter schools. You know, it's about the teacher in the classroom. And again, if they're problematic, not just in the city of St. Louis, but how are they being educated? Maybe the accreditation program is no good. We're assuming that those who are good did okay, but we've got bad ones. Do we really? They're licensed. Superintendents are licensed. They just didn't pop up and decide, I think I want to be a teacher today. They had to go to school, four-year institution. They had to get a license. Many have MAs. Some have PhDs. They all cannot be bad. We need to...
All other business will be suspended, and House Committee substitute for House Bill 2014, having passed both branches of the General Assembly, will be read at length by the Secretary, and if no objections are made, the bill will be signed at the end that it may become law. Secretary, please read the bill.
Truly agreed to and finally passed, House Committee substitute for House Bill 2014, an act to appropriate money for supplemental purposes for the several departments and offices of state government and for the payment of various claims for refunds for persons, firms, and corporations and for other purposes, and to transfer money among certain funds from the funds designated for the fiscal period ending June 30, 2012.
No objections being made, the bill is so signed. Senators, you may proceed with your debate.
President. Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, let me refresh your memory about the DSEG litigation. That was Minnie Liddell. Minnie Liddell lived down the street from Yateman School, and at the time this occurred, I was a substitute teacher at Yateman School. I remember well, Yateman School was new, it was a new building, it was in a beautiful neighborhood. There were many, many children at Yateman School because there were many children that lived in that North St. Louis area, basically, let's say West Florissant and 70, okay? I recall well when Ms. Liddell had an issue with her youngest child going to Yateman and receiving a letter that said, we're too crowded, we're going to send him somewhere else, and she did not want that to occur. So she filed a lawsuit. It did not get settled basically until 1984, I believe, and now Ms. Liddell and the son at the time, they're both deceased. I don't know if you get my newsletter, but my granddaughter, who's an eighth grade student at St. Margaret of Scotland School in the city of St. Louis, she's not part of the half that goes to the public schools, but nonetheless, she's the oldest. She's graduating. She participated in National History Day here in the state. She did it in the St. Louis region. There were 2,600 students in the St. Louis region in the junior and senior category who participated last month. She won her category third place, and all three places went to Columbia last weekend to perform. She did hers in individual performances, and she did it on Minnie Liddell. I was surprised for several reasons. She's very political, number one. Number two, she had asked me earlier in the year different things about desegregation and did it occur when I was in school, and it did occur when her dad and his brother, my sons, were in school. And I never thought anything about it, just conversation. She's just a bright, engaging young lady. Then she came over to the house, spent some time, some nights, and she'd get on the computer. Grandma, I got a project at school to do. It's called the START Project, and it's some special credit thing they do in the Catholic schools. I said, okay, do what you do. So as time went on, I hear about her doing this National History Day performance, and she did it on Minnie Liddell. She wrote it herself. She did it as Minnie Liddell speaking about her life. I happened to have a community project at Yateman School while she was preparing her work, and she was with me that morning. I said, come on with me. We're going to Yateman School. And they have a wall in Yateman School about Minnie Liddell. So we took a picture. All of those things, she never told us exactly what she was doing. Well, she won her competition, and she's going to the Nationals in Washington in June. But in so doing, I learned some things about Minnie Liddell. She was from Arkansas. She had a lot of of, let's say, racial issues growing up. The Arkansas kids going to school, the nine who were going to school, James Meredith in Mississippi, University of Mississippi, that was all in her time frame. So that helped to shape her feelings when she filed the lawsuit with the city of St. Louis. So I get up with many of those things on my mind, knowing that my granddaughter now, she's fifth generation when my grandmother was living here not too long ago, and we're still fighting these same battles, and it must stop. And I believe that there are people in this body who are willing to make it stop. That's why I'm saying we need to put these dollars back into these public systems, make them all that they can be, because that's where our taxpayers' dollars are going. I'm not opposed to any educational venue because I'm a former teacher. I don't care where it is, at home, in the universities, as long as it's quantified and it's open to everybody. But public dollars right now for public schools. And we just can't play with these definitions in order to siphon it off unless we're going to fill up that pot. We just can't take this money and split it. We'll be back to unequal schools again. We'll have more things happen here, less resources there. That's not going to work, Senator. We have got to have equality, level playing field, use these dollars as they should be used. That's why I appreciate your amendment for the St. Louis Public
Schools.
Thank you,
Senator. I mean, if I can make one final point, I've said this over and over and over again. You build, I believe, good communities around good community schools.
Yes.
And you mentioned it earlier, what sense does it make to take the children from this community and put them on a bus and send them to a community that's 45 minutes away?
Right.
What does that do to, you know, just the heart of that community? You're going to build communities around good churches and good schools.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's where families come from. And that's what we need to keep. I appreciate you allowing me to inquire of you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 14th was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 5th.
Senator from the 5th, do you yield to the Senator from the 14th?
Yes, I do.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just have to say that I was shooting amens.
Yeah, I saw you.
Oh, my goodness. You brought the house down.
Well, you know, I don't have to speak often, Senator, but, you know, I do think, I'm sitting here listening, and I think these things need to be said. We need to move in a different direction. Don't you agree?
I do agree, and I think you're right. There are some things that were stated on the floor that were personally offensive.
Absolutely.
Like all kids are going to jail.
Yeah.
You know,
three
most
districts.
Of the kids that are in St. Louis City or in my district, they're African American.
Right.
You know, that's just fitting a stereotype.
I know. It was. I didn't like it. That was
I
enough.
Know.
That was
so I just want to let you know, because no one asked me on the floor, so I'm just going to tell you. I went to Clayton High School.
Okay.
And I have to say that I was born and raised in University City. My mom, because of my specific educational needs, chose to buy a house in the city of St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
where we moved for 4 years when I was in high school. And before I started at Clayton, I was at Crossroads. And we wanted, or she wanted, to make sure there's a kind of education, a specific kind of education that I got that I would not have gotten because of some of the special needs that I had.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we talk about the DSAG program, and I don't know if you know this or not, but there are a host of teachers, Dr. Morrison included, who is a retired teacher in Leduc now, who protested on behalf of desegregation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, when we were in our history class, he would talk about the need to integrate students and make sure that all students did have a better education and all of that. But, you know, I think it's wise for you to say that it's important to have a comprehensive conversation.
Yes.
As I have been saying in this conversation on education bills,
yes.
We have been overlapping and just throwing everything into a basket. And I'm afraid at the end of the day, we're going to have pieces, if all of this stuff passes, we're
right.
going to have pieces of statute that don't match up.
Right.
Because it's inconsistent and they're not married.
Very difficult for a district. And you're on a school board, am I right?
So you, from
an administrative perspective.
I have one of my colleagues who is here today. And I got to tell you, you know, we're working really hard for our own kids.
I know.
And we are one of those. We have a different interest. obviously, because we care about the outcomes of our kids in our district.
Right.
And we are doing everything possible so that we can make our own gains. I mean, it's so specific now. We know the number of students that it's going to take to reach a specific number for the ACT test.
Right, okay.
I mean, that's how much we know, how close we are, how intimate we are with getting to the accreditation standards that we need. But, you know, I'm one of those border school districts.
I know you are, right.
Border school district. And we're right on the cusp.
I know.
And we're afraid that if we have this influx, I mean, we're doing home visits. We're doing stuff that we've not ever done before.
You become social workers. And that's not what the educational environment is about. It's about reading, writing, and arithmetic. Still, it is not about being a social worker, although you have to provide many things inside of the system. Just like with the public schools, we've got 3,000 homeless children. We won't even talk about the 4,000 from Imagine. 3,000 homeless kids. School
we
is
have
shelter.
181.
All right, so school is shelter. That they need a nurse. They need a social worker. They need food. There are washers and dryers in our public schools to wash the clothes that these children wear every day. All right,
and if you're absolutely
suburban
on the kids
schools
you
don't want our kids, we'll keep them. That brings me to Wellston.
We have teachers who are bringing bags of food home.
Right, from
or to
home.
School.
Right, for these
kids. So the kids to take home.
Right, and why are they homeless? Because mama, daddy, grandmother, whomever, don't have enough money or any money at their place to house, nurture, and raise these children. And you want to teach them? And you want to put them on a bus and send them somewhere else, away from wherever grandma is? No.
I'm just going to say this. It's one thing for other people to talk about, you know, our areas, but the best perspective is the person who lives in the area.
Walk a mile in our shoes.
You know, I know I live in the hood. I know. I know I represent people who are struggling.
Absolutely.
I know that mothers are working two or three jobs or just trying to keep their electricity on.
Absolutely.
That's a given. I know that we have all kinds of problems and social issues.
Absolutely.
And you have an influx of students. It really hurts us. We're right on the cusp.
Yes.
And we talk about in the last 3 or 4 years, we talked about educational larceny in our district, where there have been kids who come from St. Louis City. I've had the Wellston. I've been dealing with Wellston since I've been elected.
I know. And Wellston went to Normandy, who was on the bubble.
I know. And then
because
I at Normandy.
And they put them with
given
Normandy.
I the same provision as
I know.
As Independence
you put
was.
A dying, a dead district into a dying one. What
exactly.
purpose did that serve? But that's because nobody else wanted Wellston. So the superintendent in Normandy stepped up and said, I'll take them. And if you don't want our kids, we don't want them there either. We can keep them. You give us the money to put back in our public schools, and it's not going to be a problem.
Those kids, 2 points. Those kids are succeeding. It's a slow succession, but they're succeeding, and they're adapting. Those kids from the previous Wellston into Normandy.
Yeah, they are.
And
Normandy
is struggling. But you know what? Here's to the senator from the first, to underline a point that he was making. When we talk about accreditation and standards, one of the things that we were hearing earlier is let's just make sure reading is one of the standards. Well, okay, is that 3rd through 5th grade, or is that 6th through 8th grade,
right.
or if we're talking about mathematics, is it 3rd through 5th grade?
Right.
I mean, those are 4 standards separate that are separate.
And
reading
another,
is not one standard.
It's not.
It's reading among grade levels. Not one standard.
Very true.
It's 2 standards.
But you know what, Senator, back in the day when I was teaching school, it was reading, it was penmanship, it was language, it was spelling, it was several types of arts. It wasn't just reading. That's all now called communication arts. You can't do all of that in 50 minutes once a day. You need to break it out like it used to be. That's some of the reason why children are not doing well on the test. They're not taught to think critically.
And here's another thing that was raised on the floor. There was not widespread cheating.
No.
And they self-reported it, which is different. when you self-report. But if you listen to some people,
right,
you're thinking, oh, let's just all cheat. Let's all cheat.
That's not
what's going on.
No, it's not.
There's something that happened, the district self-reported.
Absolutely.
That's two different things. And
right.
DESE deals with those situations differently as well.
Yes, they do.
If there was not a self-reporting, there would be a higher penalty for that.
Right.
You know,
Absolutely.
And it's, from my understanding, it's that widespread. It may be one classroom
right.
where there was an inconsistency.
Right.
And they had to report it, and we don't know the facts. I mean, I will tell you from my experience, that conversation is typically held in the executive committee, not open. So
right.
I'm trying to figure out who knows what.
Right.
Because
okay.
when you talk about some of this stuff,
yes.
that's not privy to the public.
Right.
All
and
the
I
details.
Yeah.
So because we don't know the true details of
right.
what the real situation is, we
right.
can't take assumptions like that.
Right.
But, you know, I know kids who, all over the place actually, who have felt as though education is not being in the traditional school. Is not the pathway they want to pursue, and they want to go to the military. I have one kid who barely made graduation, but he did, and his parents were so excited about it because he was one of those kids who were getting distracted, and he didn't
yes.
know what he wanted to do. Got in trouble one weekend. I had a call from St. Louis City folks after a May Day parade and helped this kid out who was with the wrong group of folks.
Okay.
And luckily, he was able to, this is the beautiful thing, prior to graduation, wanted to serve in the military. And he's smart enough to serve in the military, so that's a good thing. But he didn't know if he was going to graduate or not. And we got him, it was like pulling hairs, but got him across that stage.
Yes.
And he is now serving in the U.S. military.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, most of my family serves in the military.
Okay. Oh,
most of
that.
My family. Girls and boys. I'm like the only grandchild who's in this type of public service. Because all the rest of them
are in the military.
They're in our four or five branches. They're in the military.
Okay.
So, you know, I just, you raised the house down. You know, you encouraged me after yesterday's budget conversation. I was a little bit teed off because I know that you would like to have $100,000 for tutoring and things.
Absolutely.
But you didn't get it.
No.
I know that you would care about the $200,000 that was cut from Sushir Institute.
Yes.
That helps Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that you would want money for your state parks as well.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we didn't get all that.
No.
But what we have to do is stand up for our children.
Yes.
And specifically, we live in these neighborhoods.
We do.
You know, I know the Freemans, you know, the Freemans down the street, Derek Freeman and his wife. And they have two sons, and they came to me. They're African-American. Husband works at UMSL. And he says, I don't think we want to go to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comfortable with going to the high school.
Okay.
And I said, let me tell you something. You need to go to those PTO meetings. You need to stay on those teachers and
yes.
graders. That is the difference. When you're on it and you're visible and
yes.
you're always there.
We've got way too many conversations going on. We need to quiet down so the senators can hear each other. Thank you. Proceed, senators.
Thank you, Mr. President. When you're on it and you're engaged,
yes.
it makes a difference in your child's education. But this.
It does.
The amendment doesn't deal with that.
A parent who is involved with survival every day doesn't mean that they don't care about what happens with that child in the educational environment. It's just that they are overwhelmed with providing or trying to be strong to keep a household together. It doesn't mean that they don't care. I think that's another reckless thing to say. Oh, the parents don't care. The parents are scraping and scratching and struggling trying to maintain what little bit they have. And if you've ever been in that position, that keeps your mind in another place. It keeps your mind in another place. But like I said, if there's a decent wage, a living wage in the household, then the parent can say, okay, I need to go check on my child. All these things at home are under control. Let me think outside of this household. I mean, and I know people in this building, in this chamber, have been there. But some people are doing that 365, 24/7. Just not for a season, not for a few months, but this has been their whole existence. Not necessarily through any fault of their own, that's just been their existence. And we have to quit condemning the parents.
Yeah,
that
that's one of the reasons why I agree with the senator from the first, his amendment, because it is truly a balance. Does he and I always agree? Do we always agree? No, we don't.
Right.
But when he brought this before our committee, elements of this idea, I congratulated him because that was something that I did not think about.
Okay.
And I thought it was very wise. And, you know, just for the edification of the body, there is a difference between AYP
yes.
and AER.
Yes.
They're two different things.
Yes.
AYP is federal. It's building by building within a district.
Mm-hmm.
APR is by school district. It's an annual progress report.
Absolutely.
And I think that has been misunderstood
yes.
in this conversation. You know, I am with you. I do not support the amendment to the amendment. I think it goes the wrong direction. And, you know, it really doesn't get to the point. And we do have a really high standard. And it's what we're trying to do is to meet that standard. We're trying to get to that standard. But when you look at the AYP, you look at MSIP, and all of that, I mean, what we are seeing are there two different things that we have to use
right.
as pathways to get to the end point. And sometimes that could be really confusing for school districts and school boards. But I want kids to be in good schools or find the best school in the community
yes.
where they can go. We're one of those districts that's right on the border of St. Louis City,
yes,
St. Louis County.
Yes, we're trying that.
And we're right on the cusp.
Yes.
So we
anyway.
Get an influx of kids. We don't know their background. We don't know the parent schedule. We don't know any
right,
of that.
Right.
Then, you know, that's going to ensure that we don't meet that next point.
Now, Senator, you're on the Education Committee, right? Have you had any discussion inside the committee with you and the chair about what we do during the interim? How do we address these educational issues? We keep getting these bits and pieces and all of these rules and regulations. You know, we have not enough room, not too much classroom, too many kids in the classroom. So many things that are coming up to try to protect the districts when we haven't focused on the stability of the child. Should we have an interim committee to talk about that? And I will address
that.
We
have the joint committee. But here's also the point that I will make, which I made earlier. There are so many moving parts right now
yes.
that are not compatible.
Yes.
And, I mean, I remember a vote that we took maybe 2 weeks ago on the Education Committee, and I think it was the senator from the 26th. He had an amendment that I didn't think he should have offered, and he didn't want to really offer it. But we were just talking the day prior, the morning of, about charter schools and virtual charter schools and all of that, and he wanted to put a cap on the number of kids that enroll in virtual education through charter schools. And I was like, well, if we just expanded charter schools for the state, why would we limit virtual education within a charter school? It doesn't make any sense. And so what I asked for, and we haven't had this discussion, I'll be completely honest on that, but what I do ask for is that we look at all of these bills, put them all in front of us, and map out everything so they can become the final print,
right?
You know, the blueprint for
yes.
success
yes.
instead of being a mess. Because here's what keeps happening. And already twice this year, we have had pieces of legislation that were correcting previous years.
Yes.
The legislation we've passed. You know, how many times have we had to correct something?
Absolutely, right.
You know, so let's really get into it and sit at the table and try to digest it and move
right.
it around. You know, I have my human size post-it that I brag about. I love it. It's a great tool that my mom taught me, you know, to use that big human size post-it. And it's really delivered a lot of success on
yes.
my personally and professionally. But that's what we need to be doing in here.
I agree. I agree. I think we should do that.
Just multiple bills going out
right.
and not trying to see how they fit with one another, they interact
with
one another. But I just have to sing your praises because I really wanted to do some hallelujahs and amens when you were talking, and it energized me. As you know, I've been frustrated for the last month on some of these conversations that we've had here in the chamber, and it just really inspired me to keep that fight inside. And to not give up, because we're not here to give up. We're not here to sit down. We're not here to be quiet. Right. We're here to stand up. We're here to talk. We're here to engage. We're here to ask the hard questions.
Yes.
And that's why we're all here. And, you know, thank you for that. After last night, this morning, I'm not too sure how I felt. I think my school district, or I'm sorry, my Senate district, lost a lot.
Yes. How many schools do you have in your district? High school, middle, and...
We have one high school. We have one middle school.
Uh-huh.
And we have Flynn Park. We have Pershing. We have Jackson Park. We have... I'm missing schools. Maybe... I'm looking at my colleague. I'm missing a school. So I went to Flynn Park.
Okay.
By my house is Jackson Park. And we have Nathaniel Hawthorne. That's okay. Another one of our schools. So I think four elementary schools.
How many schools?
Then we have the adult, we have the alternative school as well, where my little cousin goes, who is one of those kids who dropped out.
Okay.
My little cousin dropped out of school because he had parents who were not together, and he went to Las Vegas, and his dad was just hustling, trying to make a living, and he wasn't inspired and dropped out of school. So he came back to University City, and now he's in the alternative program, and I just heard from the principal there that he's making A's and B's. And so I'm very proud of him.
Good.
He has not been in jail. He's not been in jail.
Good.
He's a young black man who's not been in jail.
About that. Thank you. Well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate you standing up. But I think we should talk about this during the interim. Let's look at comprehensive legislation. Let's look about taking these dollars and putting them back where they belong, in a neighborhood, in a school, so that we can...
And we want you to succeed. We want the city of St. Louis to succeed in their school district.
Absolutely.
There have been improvements. I asked the SAB, send me the documentation. And I've looked at the documentation. There has been progress.
There has been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's all in the minutiae. We look at the minutiae. I've asked for the minutiae.
Right, absolutely.
My district, because I want to know exactly
that's where the rubber meets the road.
To work. But, I mean, right. If from here, if you're not part of that district... You don't know the minutiae. You don't know that stuff. We have to deal with that day in, day out. You guys are trying to become provisionally accredited. We're trying to sustain our full accreditation.
Absolutely. And that's a struggle for all systems.
Again, if you're not from the community, you don't know. That's one of the reasons why I was against the charter school legislation.
Right.
Because it would take our tax money. Now, you guys have 24,000 kids. We have 3,000 kids.
Right.
And a portion of that public money is going to go into the charter school. That's one way you guys have lost money, revenue,
Absolutely.
In your traditional schools.
Absolutely.
It's because of these
That's
charter
my
schools
point.
That
Absolutely.
Are closing, by
that
the way.
That are closing. That are not doing the job.
That are closing.
Who's minding the store? Who's minding Desi? Who's minding the charter schools? Who's minding the kids? I mean, that shouldn't happen with the mansion. They snatched the rug out from under them.
Yeah.
Why? Why did Missouri Baptist back out before they got put out? How did they fail? They knew they were failing. Who's watching? That's my point. So we do need to sit down and talk about a comprehensive approach to this.
Absolutely.
Education, period.
Absolutely. A district with 24,000 students is going to be differently affected
right.
than a district with only 3,000 kids.
And here's another question about Missouri Baptist. It is a private college, is it not? How did it get to be a sponsor of a public education system supported by tax dollars? Is that in the statute? That's unfortunate. That's what that is. That's unfortunate. They didn't do their job. They didn't do their job. And 4,000 families are impacted. The Imagine Schools, I imagine they're going through their books and papers trying to find out what happened. You know, we need to be on top of this closely, and we need to have a plan to get it done.
And even though I disagree with the St. Louis City NAACP and their comment on Imagine Schools, You know, I'm glad that they have a voice because they're caring essentially about where these kids go to school. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the option that they have presented. I listened to KWMU the other day on Monday coming down, mm-hmm. and I did not agree with Mr. Pruitt, but I'm glad that he is concerned with where the kids are going right. to go.
And if they wind up in the St. Louis public school system, what can we do to accelerate accreditation, full accreditation? We're one point away from provisional based on some evidently non-academic type things.
But you know what? If we pass the senator from the First Amendment, yes. if we pass his amendment, you know what? Those kids can go to the best schools within St. Louis City that are meeting right. AYP.
Right. And there are some that are 16
yeah.
of them.
So there is an answer, right. but the answer isn't the amendment to the amendment. The answer is in the language from that the senator from the first has. And so I just want to have that conversation. You truly inspired me. You gave me back the energy that I was searching for, seeking. I badly needed it. My staff has been driving me crazy. They did a prank on me today.
Oh, my goodness. They're
so
just
upset.
Trying to lift your spirits.
No, it was not a good prank. So I'm still upset about that. But I've been gardening every weekend. I mean,
yeah,
it's ridiculous trying to get rid of all this stress.
I know.
And we have 3 more weeks. And so I just want to make sure we have a full conversation because a lot of folks don't want to have a full conversation. This is not the House. This is the Senate.
Right.
And, again, thank you for your words of wisdom. You know, when we live in urban areas, we have different challenges. Like
yes.
I said, I'm from the hood, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm representing my community the best of my ability.
We
and I know the challenges
the
because I hear the challenges.
Yes.
I see the challenges.
You see the challenges.
I hear the challenges.
You meet them at the grocery store. You meet
absolutely.
Them at the
gas station.
Gas station. Thank
go
you.
Out with their
at the cleaners.
On. Don't go out
at the White Castle.
At the White
okay.
Castle.
Okay. Everywhere. Yeah.
Stop at the
we
gas
need a White
station.
Castle in Jefferson
One
City.
Night.
That's what we need. We need a White Castle down here.
No, I've had too many White Castles.
I know, but we still need one. We need to, because, you know, I've had to bring some here for some people have
Senator,
asked me to bring them White Castles.
The Senator from the 15th sounds like he wants some White Castles. Now, he is from NoCo, I will say that, but. But I think the nearest White Castles they have is at Manchester and
yes.
maybe Big Ben.
Manchester
like that.
And Big Ben. That's it. We know where they are.
But anyway, I just want to have this brief conversation with you. I'm not going to vote on behalf of the senator from the 7th Amendment. I know where she's coming from. I respect where she's coming from. She's been very diligent. She's been most effective in the last couple of days getting the things that she wants. But I think I'm going to side with the senator from the first on this one. It's a well-thought-out idea, and it's something that deserves our consideration.
I think so,
body.
Too. I do, too. Thank you,
thank
Senator.
You so much. Thank you,
all
Mr.
Right.
President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the motion. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've really enjoyed the conversation that we've just heard and their views on this amendment, and I would certainly agree with them. I do think the senator from the first has a very good workable amendment, and if we adopt this amendment that's currently on the floor by the senator of the seventh, it would render the amendment from the senator from the first kind of useless. And so I'm going to encourage my colleagues to vote against this amendment. What this amendment would do, it would put such high standards on St. Louis School District as far as the standards in the areas of communication, arts, and mathematics. It would be almost impossible to attain. And ironically, it would put it higher than most schools across the state. And so I think we all need to realize that we need to have rigor and standards, but not an unrealistic thing that cannot be met. And so for that reason, I would encourage my colleagues to vote no, on this amendment. Thank you.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 7th. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment. Mr. President, I represent the other side of the city of St. Louis. And it's amazing how so many people in a small geographic area can disagree about such an important piece of legislation. There's been a lot of disinformation here. There's been allegations of widespread cheating on the MAP tests in the St. Louis Public Schools. The letter I received from the St. Louis Public Schools says that there have only been 3 reports. The we have to understand some of these kids that are in the St. Louis public schools come from very challenging backgrounds. The Senator from the Fifth is right. The importance of a stable family and a stable income is extremely important. St. Louis Public Schools, the last figure I heard, have 100% turnover during the school year. When the weather gets cold, the kids move from the North St. Louis, the older housing stock, to the new schools down in South St. Louis where it's warmer. And they don't know in advance. They just knock on the door. They show up. So the St. Louis Public Schools has a huge challenge. The senator from the first, I mean, we spent an hour probably today talking about 60 out of 65 schools meeting AYP. And it wasn't until it was finally challenged that it turned out to be 16. You know, 1 o'clock this morning during the budget, we talked about fixing the Molina decision and how we shouldn't legislate matters that are still being litigated. Now, the school districts have fought this Turner decision since St. Louis was probably unaccredited. They were lining up. You know, they fought it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's the law. But the Supreme Court didn't dictate what to do. They remanded it back to St. Louis County. And that's where it sits today. It's still being litigated. The judge has not come back with an opinion yet. I don't know. I am not a big fan of fixing Turner right now. I'm in no hurry to do it. I think I'll oppose the senator from the Seventh Amendment, and I already oppose the senator from the First. I think either one just pushes the can further down the road. This school district has not been fully accredited for 18 years. There's got to be a time when we're not so close that we have to kick the can further down. We have to address it. The sooner we do it, the better off we are. It could be painful, but I think we need to do it. And with that, I close. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the motion of the senator from the Seventh. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the Seventh.
Yeah, Mr. President, I was thinking that the senator from the first was going to amend my. Are you on my amendment 25S? I'm just trying to make sure I know where we are, because I was thinking the senator from first was going to amend my amendment.
Senator, we have to dispose of your amendment before any more amendments can happen. We're into the third degree.
Okay, then I'd like to speak on it, if I may.
Does anybody else want to speak on the? Amendment. Senator, I'm going to recognize you to close, and you can.
Okay. What I want to do right now, though, is inquire of the senator from Stoddard.
I've already recognized.
I didn't ask for it yet.
What's that? Okay.
Yeah.
Senator from Stoddard, you yield. Senator from the Seventh. He yields.
Certainly.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Yeah, Senator, I appreciate you taking my inquiry, and you have worked on education for a lot of years, have chaired the Education Committee, and cared a lot about this issue and worked on it for a long time. And I understand that when this issue started coming up with the reports from St. Louis City about the progress, that you actually looked at those numbers. And can you just kind of bring us up to speed on sort of how you feel about the progress and how much it actually is and how it kind of addresses the things we've been talking to as far as the standards, which are the objective measurement of it?
Well, you know, I have heard much of the debate this afternoon, and I have a lot of respect for the senator from the 5th and 14th, and I do understand some of the variables and factors that students face there in their respective school districts, and I appreciate the fact that it is a great challenge. But I was hearing early on about some progress that was being made in the city of St. Louis, and I believe there has been progress. I think there are some areas, especially non-academic, where they have made progress with attendance and graduation, and some other things that are a step in the right direction. However, I did want to find out, you know, what kind of progress is being made academically. And so I had the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education come to my office and go over the different pieces of data and information that they've collected over the years. They have made some slight improvements in some of the academic areas, and I say slight because I asked the people from DESE what this progress meant. They didn't feel...
What, Senator, there's a lot of talk around here, and I'm having a hard time concentrating.
Senators, take their conversation outside or keep it low.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And so, you know, I had them over, and we went over some of the statistical analysis, and there was some slight improvements in the academic area, but from what I gathered, the amount of progress really didn't establish any kind of upward trend that they could really feel with any certainty they felt like they were headed in the right direction, but they would like to have seen a greater amount of progress.
Do you have any statistics that maybe you've looked at and studied that may give us a feeling of what you found specifically, anything that would just kind of help us understand that?
Sure. This came from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, grades 3 through 5 in mathematics, and I don't want to get into the exact scoring because I don't know that I exactly understand it, but in 2007, they scored them at 695. In 08, it was 696.9. In 09, 697.4. In 2010, 709.4. In 2011, 711.7. So, I mean, there is some progress. They felt like, though, that amount of increase was, you know, a positive thing, but they weren't certain that...
Not significant.
Right. They didn't feel that it was a great amount of significance there.
What I understand that in the area of reading, that actually they went up from 24.4% proficiency to 26.8% proficiency from 2010 to 2011. Now, that's teeny-weeny. It really is very small. But I guess the overall thing is roughly only about 1/4 of the children in third grade in the St. Louis public schools can read.
Yeah, and you know, I understand that there are a lot of challenges there, and it is difficult, but I was hopeful that there'd be a little greater progress.
Well, and we've had studies recently in the court cases that have told us that between 15,000 and 16,000 parents indicated they wanted to leave the schools because of the education that they feel is not adequate for their children. Now, I agree with the senator from the 4th in that, you know, these children need some opportunities and they need them now. And, you know, we have a law that would provide that. We have a law that would help those kids that have been put out on the streets by the charter that went out of business. One good thing about charters going out of business is when they fail, they go out of business. And unfortunately, if it's not a charter, we just keep pouring money into it. So the point is that 25% in the city, roughly a fourth of the third graders can read. Now, with that said, I'm not real happy about the whole state of Missouri. I mean, reading is the most basic skill to success in the future, and we only have like 40 to 50% of children all over the state proficient in reading, and 38 to 40% of them are having to take remedial courses in college. So we have some real quality problems with regard to the schools that we are supervising.
Well, I think the, you know, it goes all over the standard of quality I'm talking about. I think we have schools that are really struggling. I think we have a good deal of public schools that are performing well, but certainly in this day and age where education is so important to the economic well-being of individuals, the expectations need to be risen.
They do. Well, Senator, I thank you for the inquiry. I thank you for looking into this.
One more thing, and I know this is your inquiry. I think you and the senator from the first have been talking, and I understand that your amendment requires that two academic standards be achieved.
Yeah, to me, the most basics, reading and math.
And I didn't know where you might be with, I mean, I didn't know if there was an area of compromise there. I know that they have made some strides in the non-academic areas. I didn't know whether one area of accreditation and one subject with the idea that within a certain amount of time they'd have to become accredited in another area or two. I didn't know how much of that discussion had gone on between you and the senator from the first.
We were talking about that, and he thought, well, how about one standard? I mean, mine was two, the most basic, English and math. He talked about, would you go to just one standard? And I said, yeah, let's talk about one standard, but being able to read. Because if you can read, you can teach yourself a lot of things. And then the last discussion, how about one standard, one academic standard? So I'm not sure where we are. President was getting ready to let me close, so I guess we're just going to kind of see now, what the body thinks.
Now, on your amendment, do they have to be accredited reach the criteria in all six?
No, just two. Just the most basic, the reading and the math.
Well, in talking with the senator from the first, he indicates that it has to be more than that. I don't know.
There are five standards, but then they have them broken down to, like, for instance, communication arts in third through fifth, communication arts in sixth through eighth, communication arts in high school. So even though that's at three levels, it's still communication arts throughout the district. So that's why mine's worded all of the tests, if you will, throughout the district in communication arts. And that's why I worded it that way. It's still just one of the standards. They just have, at different grade levels, the test.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Senator, you recognize the close.
Close.
Senator from the 7th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 1. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. Those do have it. We're back on the motion of the senator from the first. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? The senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has. And I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection. This is the amendment to your amendment.
Correct.
So this is Senate amendment?
No.
Senator, this is an amendment to the underlying bill. So we have a Senate substitute amendment. We've got. You have a Senate substitute amendment to the senator from the 15th Senate amendment.
Could you send that back, Mr. President? I think I sent it the wrong way.
Send the amendment back, and Senator, do you have an amendment to send forward? Senator first.
Where are we in the process right now?
Right now we're on your Senate amendment, Senate substitute amendment to the senator from the 15th amendment.
Okay, and have you recognized me for anything?
If any other senator wish to speak on the motion of the senator from the first, senator from the fourth, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the first.
Senator from the first, do you yield? He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
You know what we're working on here?
We're working on my amendment to the senator from the 15th.
Your substitute amendment.
My substitute amendment.
Which is, what's the number? The 01S?
No. It would be... It does end with 01S, but it starts out with 809.
Okay, so it's not the 811.
Correct.
Is your amendment the bill that you had in committee?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, I know where we are. Mr. President?
Senator from the 4th.
I'd like to speak against the amendment.
Proceed, Senator.
Again, as I stated in my comments earlier, in my view, this is just another opportunity to aside of the progress that the St. Louis Public Schools have made, and I commend them for their efforts. I think we need to address this situation. I don't think we need to wait 2 years, and I think it's an inappropriate time to address or to pass legislation on a matter that's still tied up in the courts. So I would encourage my colleagues to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 1st. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm in agreement with my partner here to the left, Senator from the 4th. Basically, what we're doing, and we talked about this during the debate, while my amendment would have raised the standards and made sure that the district reached higher academic standards for the children in order to keep them in the district, this amendment does just the opposite. And what we're doing, instead of reaching for more accountability and more academics and more learning, we are going absolutely the opposite way by reducing standards, reducing measurements, and let a district that has been operating as not really working for the kids, unaccredited or provisionally accredited, for the last 18 years, to continue that in an easier manner. So I urge the body to think about the kids, think about the learning, and let's look forward in our country to raising standards and moving up rather than moving backwards. And I urge you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd like to speak on the amendment.
Proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, first of all, we heard this language in the Education Committee, and I know the Senator from the 1st has been really encouraged to find a solution where most people, the majority of us, can agree. Has it been an easy road to this point? No, it has not. Not at all. And I know that we have all had frustrations in this dialogue. I know that we all care about the outcomes of student achievement. But what we must understand is that we have to help these families. We have to help the city of St. Louis, frankly, Mr. President, keep a population of people that they care about. And what we're trying to do is find the best tools, the best schools, where kids can go in their neighborhood. We don't always agree on these educational matters, not by any means, but occasionally, a few times, we do agree. And that's where we are at this point right now. And I support the amendment that the Senator from the 1st is sponsoring, because it is a compromise from all of our interests, especially those who come from the urban core, who deal with this situation every single day. You know, my school district, where I live, I only live a mile from the city of St. Louis, Mr. President. And I have to tell you that I have heard stories again and again dealing with education, not only from my community, but also from the city of St. Louis. And I want our area to thrive. But in order for us to thrive, we have to invest at home first. What's wrong with investing at home first?
That should be our priority. That is what this amendment attempts to do, is to invest locally. We have to find the best tools that exist, Mr. President. And by defeating this amendment, we are not moving a step further. By defeating it, we would be moving completely backward. But by passing it, we can come to a point where we can give accountability to the schools that work and the schools that are struggling to work. So with that, I want to encourage my colleagues to vote in favor of this amendment. It is the right direction. It is where we want to go. And it's just the right thing to do. And I know that the senator has worked very hard and diligently. He's gone to many of these schools in the city of St. Louis, as well as I have. You know, I have 8 school districts. And I not only go to my public and private schools, but I also go to schools that are in the city of St. Louis, because I actually care about the city of St. Louis, too. So with that, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the motion of the senator from the first. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you. I do appreciate the senator from the first and what he has done with this amendment. He came to our committee last year and then also this year and offered this legislation. The Education Committee spent a lot of time discussing this. I think it's a very good compromise. And I think what it's doing is raising the standards and insisting upon improvement that is being made. And so I think that's what we're all looking at, that there is some improvement that is being made, and so we are taking steps to do that. And so with that, I would certainly encourage my colleagues to vote for this. I think it does match very well with what the senator from the 15th has, and so I think that this is a very good compromise piece of legislation. Again, I would encourage my colleagues to vote for this amendment. Thank you.
We're on the motion, the senator from first. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed? Senator, has it been distributed?
It is being distributed. I will not close
until it is distributed.
Until it's been distributed. I would move for its adoption,
Senator,
and ask for a waiver of the
this
reading.
Is not an amendment to the substitute amendment.
My understanding, Mr. President, that I would, in my good faith effort to make this bill better, that I would need to offer this before he closes, before the substitute is...
It's not drafted done. To the substitute amendment.
Mr. President, can I inquire the senator from Johnson?
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
Yield, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I thought I had this figured out to fit this on, and I had a brief conversation with the senator from Cape earlier about what I'm trying to do, to move forward on this so that there was some assurance or some certainty that the receiving districts would, in good faith, rely upon some sort of objective criteria in determining those number of slots that are available.
Right, right.
And this amendment would accomplish that.
I think one thing, Senator, is saying no is not an option.
Yeah, if we're going to go down this route where we're saying that you know, the availability is based on what those districts determine the number of slots. I think it's everybody would agree that we want to have some equity in that process, make sure it's fair. It's not arbitrary. It's not capricious. It's not a goose egg that's thrown up for no particular reason, but rather based on is there classroom space available? Because what we're trying to accomplish is that we don't have to build new buildings or hire new teachers for those receiving districts. That is part of this process in determining what's fair, but also still providing opportunities for kids in unaccredited districts. Senator Lemke's senator Whoa. From the first. Gavel me, yeah.
Senator, we've got a break here. We need to ask you to have your amendment returned.
Send the amendment back, please.
And your amendment is being drafted.
Mr. President, I would ask for unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, Senator, we'll stand at ease. Senate will come back into session. Senator from the 15th.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It is. Yes.
Senator, are you asking for a waiver of the reading?
I'm asking for a waiver of the reading, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived, Senator.
Move for its adoption. Thank you, Mr. President. This is an amendment to the substitute that the Senator from the 1st has offered to my underlying amendment that relates to the Turner fix. So we've been talking about this. What I want to do, though, for the benefit of the body, is to make reference to what this does. So in my previous conversations from the Senator from Cape, and from other senators about this, one concern was, okay, well, let's make sure that we're being true and accurate about the numbers of slots that are available for the receiving school districts. If you turn to page 3, line 17, by August 30th, the criteria will have been established. The three things that the school district, in addition to the space available, which is the primary criteria, and the decisions that that school board can look at, there are three primary categories, and you can choose one of the three. The first being the average classroom size over the last 3 years. That's an objective criteria that sets a standard for the number of classroom spaces available. The second is if criteria have already been adopted by that school board. So it's not the... It's a fair and honest way, because this is in advance and happened in advance of the transfer students potentially coming into the district. So if that school district has made that local decision prior to this as to whether or not as to whether or not they have the space available or the number of slots available, we want to honor that local decision by that school board. The third criteria is if they don't have either one of those, the MSIP, the DESE, the default standard as far as what the desirable standard is as established by the Missouri School Improvement Program. It gives flexibility to local districts, but also objective criteria. And the hammer, the penalty, is the same that a school district would have if they don't provide the professional development opportunities that they have right now, which is a 1% withhold of their state funding. But my impression, most of the districts that I represent are ready for this. They have criteria already in place and are ready to move forward on this if we get a fix. So with that, Mr. President, I would answer any questions.
The Senator from the 15th has moved the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2 to Senate Substitute number 1 to Senate Amendment number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none. Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do. Yes, I yield.
Senator, you may proceed.
Obviously, I care a whole lot about this, and so I'm not trying to slow you down. But,
sure.
I mean, we're going to really need to walk through this, if that's
absolutely
okay, because I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm on page 3. I have read through there. I have a couple of questions. Let's see. 167131 is at the beginning. You've added 4 specific grade levels. Why did you add that?
Well, if you go, the new language, Senator, the reason why this is a little different is, this is going into the same section that I previously had in the original underlying amendment. If you want to know what's new, if you go to page 3, line 17, that section, number 3, that section there is really what is the new element of this.
Okay. Each school district shall establish... shall establish specific criteria through board policy for the admission. Let me start at the beginning and just work my way through. Is that all right? Can we do that? That'll help me really grasp.
You want to
it.
Go through the underlying bill also?
Well,
underlying amendment.
No, sort of. Just only when it's changed.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't read
no,
it.
No, I'm just trying to tell you what's new to focus here. And what's new is section 3.
Oh, okay. Can we? When we get to section 3, remind me that,
yep,
if that's okay. All right. So on the first page, under 167131, 4 specific grade levels. Why was that added?
That's a, where are we at? Subject to the provision.
It's the first thing underlined on line 5 and 6 of page 1.
Well, if you're determining the number of spots available per grade level, which is what this is based on,
Kids, obviously, as they're coming in, are being slotted into a specific classroom or a grade. And we want to find out what the average classroom size is for that grade. Obviously, it doesn't matter if you have...
It doesn't seem like it would matter. That's why I asked.
Well, no, it does matter, and here's why. If you say you have 80 spots,
yeah,
79 of them may be in high school.
Okay.
Okay? So we want to make sure by grade level we're being precise as to if a student is seeking to transfer, that there's a spot for them in that grade level.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Then line 8, let's see, shall pay tuition as calculated by the receiving district under subsection 2 of this section. And I think I read that. And
right,
that's exactly the way the law states now, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right, per pupil cost of the grade level grouping, okay. Then on, it looks like this is new, page 3 at the top. So you're going to pay them whatever they're paying for the VIC kids right now?
Yep, that was in the underlying Turner Fix Amendment I have. That was,
oh, okay, not yeah, the underlying law.
Right.
Are districts willing to take that? Because that seems to contradict what you just said. In other words, page 2, section 1, subdivision, let's see, I guess that's 2, where it goes through all how you calculate that?
That's to calculate the classroom size. To calculate
No, that was the cost of maintaining it. Like if you're on line 16, if you go down to line 20, the cost of maintaining a grade level grouping shall be determined by the board, and then it goes through county
yeah,
teachers.
Yeah, for every like, other, yeah, let me be clear, for
and
every
then
other.
Then 3, just the opposite.
For every other, this, now remember, this is a statewide Turner issue, so if some other school district becomes unaccredited, this is the calculation for everybody else.
Oh, I see what you're saying for a
But what I'm saying in St. Louis County, it's VIC.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Are you going to run into a constitutional issue that you're treating districts differently as far as what they get paid?
I don't think so. If we do that, you might as well burn half the statute books in this building.
Okay. All right. So basically it says they'll take the VIC money, and you said you had talked to people. And
they're okay with that. I mean, I think that's probably less than what St. Louis Public is paying, but that's a fair number from what I understand.
Around 7,000. I think. So the money that, let's say, your district, what are you all spending per pupil in Kirkwood?
13.
Okay. So if all you're going to get is 7, what happens to the other money that's left over, like 5,000? Does that come back to GR, or does it go to the City of St. Louis Public Schools?
Well, what we're trying to do is the model, because right now for students that don't reside, and I think there's a different classification, for students that do not reside in the district currently,
yeah,
there is an amount. So VIC is the best example of educating a child from somewhere outside of the district and the payment that that school district is willing to accept to do that. And
okay,
we're just trying to model that with this.
And that's okay. I guess what I'm wondering about is because that's so much less than the $13,000 that Kirkwood normally charges, and that's, you know, a good amount difference. What happens to that difference?
Well, quite frankly, I'd be willing to take all the money that comes from that.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I'd be willing to accept all the money from St. Louis Public to go to the receiving districts, but this seems to be the most agreeable way of dealing with it.
Oh, okay, but
this isn't new. That's not new. I think that was on the Rick Stream language last year.
Oh, okay, but we still got $6,000 difference, and that's a huge amount of money. So I guess it sounds like what you're doing is leaving the St. Louis Public Schools with paying them basically $6,000 for a child they're no longer educating. And so I just want to make sure that's what you want to do.
What I'm saying is that we're going to go with the currently established mode of payment from kids from an unaccredited district to a receiving district, and that would be the VIC money.
Okay, and I think what it would do if we don't establish something else to do with that money, because what we could do is we could take that $6,000 per student that transfers, and we could put it back through GR or through the formula, and it could go all over the place. Or it could.
Well, I don't think, not all
the
money that Educate obviously comes from the state either, so.
I'm sorry.
I mean, there are local dollars, of course.
It is, and I guess if you divided it equal, it'd be $3,000 each. So, okay, I just want to make sure what you want to do with that. Okay, then I'm on line 12 of page 3, and this may address the senator, I think it's from the 14th. Okay, I thought so. and maybe you read this. A pupil from an unaccredited district may attend a school in another district of the same or an adjoining county if the receiving district is accredited without provision. Okay?
Right.
I guess you probably saw that. So only fully accredited districts can receive these students,
correct.
Right? Okay? And if the pupil has been enrolled in and attending a public school in the district, in what district?
Where are you at? You've got a...
Line 16, it doesn't state what district.
An unaccredited district.
Okay, that's not clear.
It's in line 16 in an unaccredited district.
Okay.
Is that what you're referring to?
Let's see. In and attending a public school in the district during the school year when the declaration is made or has enrolled and attended in the unaccredited district in school years subsequent to the year in which the declaration is made. Okay, I guess they could pick it up. It's not clear on line 16, but hopefully people would figure that out. Okay, 19. Pupil. Okay, on that one, I just want to make sure that we all understand what that means. Right now, under the Turner Law, anyone who resides in the city of St. Louis, in that unaccredited district, they have a right to get to a good school, to an accredited school. So what you're doing is saying to parents who have worked really hard to get their kids to a good school, and many of them have worked, I mean, there's a lawsuit now with a lot of firemen from the district, and they have been sacrificing to pay private school tuition because they're required to live in the city of St. Louis. And what we're saying to those firemen is, we're taking your rights away.
I totally disagree with you.
Okay, then tell me how.
Because here's what I'm saying. I'm saying I pay an exorbitant amount of taxes to live in Glendale because we support our public schools locally because of the foundation formula.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I shouldn't have to, as a taxpayer, be required to build new buildings and hire new teachers, okay, because of this. Because of what I think what you're attempting to do, which is to say the best way to educate a kid is to send them on a bus 40 minutes from their home.
Actually,
what I'm saying
that's
is
not what I'm trying
I
to
think
do.
What I'm saying is a compromise position, okay. Senator, which is to say I'm not saying that any kid in an unaccredited district cannot attend a school in a accredited district. I'm saying let's just make sure there's space available.
Right. I'm not
so
talking
that,
about
that firefighter's kid that's at St. Gabriel's. I'm not actually saying they can't go to Webster Groves, or they can't go to Clayton, or they can't go to Afton. I'm saying you can go there. We just got to make sure that those taxpayers in those districts don't have to build new buildings and bring in trailers and hire new teachers.
I'm okay with that. This is, I mean, because what you're saying...
Because you represent, Senator, you represent those receiving districts, too.
Right.
And those taxpayers in those districts. And
actually, let me restate that. I represent the citizens of those schools districts. I don't represent any district, any private company.
I said taxpayers. I said taxpayers.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's good because I've heard it stated wrongly. So you're
saying I said taxpayers, yeah.
Correctly. So that's not what I'm trying to do. The thing is, if what you're setting up here is a way to limit the number of people who can enroll.
They have reasonable criteria. Yep.
Right, right.
Yep.
So it really doesn't matter who's applying. So why would we say to the firemen who have to live in the city and have sacrificed...
I don't think they should have to live in the city.
Well, that's not our situation.
Well, let's have a bill to deal with that. But the senator from the 4th probably opposes that. But
we don't have any options.
I don't
on
think
that
they
one.
Ought to be required to live in the city, but that I can't deal with that. What I can deal with right now is thousands of students that want a better opportunity, okay? I want to help fix that, too. But what I also don't think is fair is for taxpayers in another school district to have to bear the burden of that by themselves by building new buildings. So
okay.
I'm trying to find a balance here.
Okay.
Of how
and I think we can.
Yeah.
Do you think those firemen that have entered a lawsuit, that have testified before our committees and
You got to hear the testimony down at City Academy, so you got to
I went
see
down
a lot
there.
Of
I'm not on the committee, and I went down there. Yep.
I know, and I thank you for that. I really appreciate it, because I know it was a long hearing, and I really appreciate you listening to all that. So those firemen that were there, they have to live in the city, and so they only have the option of the city schools, and as caring parents who are involved, they've been sacrificing to send their children to a quality school in the city.
Right.
And it seems like you would not be hurting what you're trying to do and protect your local district.
Taxpayers. Taxpayers.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good for you. So in trying to do that, it doesn't seem like this would matter. So you could still say, we're not going to take away your rights, but you have a right to get in line like everybody else to try to get one of these seats that are
That's
open.
What I'm saying.
Okay, I didn't seem that way. Okay, let me
read
it.
Well, I mean, if there's slots available, okay.
Right, but this, let me read it. Let's make sure we got
okay.
it. Because what we're agreeing to is you don't want to take any of the rights away from people to at least get in line from one of those empty seats.
As
is that
currently
right?
determined by the Supreme Court and what the Turner decision means, yes, I'm trying to work within that decision to have a practical and a reasonable solution for receiving school districts.
Oh, okay, but
and also I would say that the worst thing that can happen, Senator, to the and as a Roman Catholic that went to Catholic schools too, the worst thing that can happen to the archdiocese and those schools in the city is for this Turner decision not to get fixed, because those churches, those schools are stabilizing influences in the city. And as the Senator from the 5th mentioned, the best way to have those schools rooted in those communities. And if those parents who are paying that tuition have the ability to send their kid to Webster Groves or Afton or Kirkwood for free, that might happen, okay? And what I worry about, too, is then further closing of Catholic schools in the city. So this has profound and far-reaching effects that we're trying to address with a reasonable solution for just establishing the number of slots available. We're not saying no, never, no how. We're just saying let the taxpayers keep their bargain as well in the receiving districts.
Okay, so let me go back. So do you and I agree that, I mean, it seems like what your bill's doing, we'll go through it and make sure it's, you know, what we both think. But if you're going to establish a line for people to get in line to try to get into the seats that the school districts to determine are available.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I ask that this bill be laid on the informal calendar.
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
President, without objection, Senator, I'll go to the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator from Lawrence.
Mr. President, your committee on the judiciary will meet immediately in the lounge.
Thank you, Senator. We're on the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
Heard the motion of the Senator from 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.